The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress. PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart. Eric Scalavino, for now anyway. PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gronkowski makes the grab at the 35, and then the ball is jarred free as he's upended. The ball came loose. It was recovered eventually by Buster Screen. Rob Gronkowski is hurt.
They just took his knee out.
Rob Gronkowski seated on the back of a cart. Gronkowski now rides off. Dr. Thomas Gill. The applause of the fans here in Foxborough. Tom pumps to his right, under pressure, loses the football. Covered up by the Browns at the 32.
What is Brady doing?
Tom Brady losing control of the football, and the Cleveland Browns take over. Campbell, quick throw on the slant to Gordon. He's going to try to run away from Tlaib. Across the 40-yard line. Goodbye. Wow. Peeling away to the 20. He's on his way, coasting into the end zone. 80 yards for Josh Gordon.
Boy, just when you thought couldn't get any worse here in Foxborough.
Sometimes you just feel tired.
Tom Brady and the Patriots offense with 1:19 on the clock here on the third quarter, trailing 19-3. Brady in the pocket, lofts a throw deep downfield for Chingford. Got behind the defense. Hit the catch at the 35, across the 25, and he is tackled by Robertson. Inside the Cleveland 7, hand off to Vereen underneath. Runs it straight ahead, runs it to the end zone. He started it with a big play, finishes with the touchdown. Ridley hands on knees in the backfield on a 2-point try. Amendola starts in motion from the right. Brady takes the snap. He's looking to the back of the end zone. Edelman has the catch. 2-point conversion. This one straight on from 50. Snap in the spot. Drives the kick. Headed toward the uprights. And that kick is good. Gostkowski delivers again for the Patriots. Gordon split near side. Short side left. Thigh high snap to Campbell. Steps back under pressure. Wrapped up by Ninkovich. And drilled a second time by Jones. A sack at the 39. A third and goal to go. Football just inside the two. Brady takes the snap. He looks toward the left. He looks across the middle. Throws at the back of the end zone. Catch made. Julian Edelman. Touchdown. Patriots. Ball in the midst of the Flying Elvis logo, splitting the hash marks. Gostkowski starts the approach. He runs up. He bounces it off the turf. It's hopping toward the 40. The ball is loose.
They got
the
it.
Patriots have
they
it.
They got it.
The Patriots have it.
What a kick by Gostkowski.
From the 30. Brady takes the snap. Double clutches. Throws to the end zone. Looking for Boyce. He reaches out and can't make the catch. And a flag comes down.
You got it.
A flag is thrown.
It's Bedlam. It's absolute Bedlam in Foxborough again.
Boyce to the left. Amendola slot right with Edelman right.
Give it to
Mulligan, Brady. The tight end right. Vereen in the backfield off Brady's left hip. Amendola starts it in motion. Brady takes the snap. Rolls right. Throws to the end zone. Catches Brady. Touchdown. Danny Amendola. And the Patriots have the lead. 58-yard attempt by Condon for the win. Snap of the spot. The kick on its way from 58 yards away. And the kick is no good. The Patriots win.
I've seen it all. I've seen it all.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It
was
a huge win. Not sure we've seen it all, Zolak, because every week it seems that the Patriots give us something else to marvel at. But this was certainly another amazing, incredible, unlikely win for the Patriots, coming from behind with Gronkowski out. All the reasons to fold the tent, but the Patriots refused to do that. And that's how I want to start this show.
With a change of voice.
For all those fans who are saying, well, Gronkowski's out. Why play the rest of the season? The Patriots aren't going to fold up their tent. If you're a fan, why the hell are you? I just want to know that. Why this negative attitude, all this negative energy that you're throwing out there into the NFL universe, why don't the Patriots have a
and
chance?
All this negativity that's in this town
to
sucks.
Continue to do what they're doing. I don't understand it. We're going to talk about it. I know Paul and Andy think it's over.
I didn't say
anything. Now he's putting words in our mouth.
Okay.
That is unfair.
All right.
I will admit I was sulking and thought it was over in the immediacy after the injury.
I will say
I would have gone home.
I will say this as well. The story of the week last week by every media member was, well, this is, look how much better the Patriots have become now that Gronkowski has his legs underneath him and the offense is rolling, and look how much better he's made the team.
Now it doesn't matter
right.
if you listen to Mike Felger. No difference. Right. Irrelevant.
So
no matter.
So now I'm waiting to see what the story is this week.
Well, I just gave you one of them.
What's that? Well, that's
98.5 The Sports Hub thinks nothing's changed.
Felger, I think that no matter what people said, he would say the opposite.
Right. But, he's a contrarian.
So we can't take him as a barometer. But it'll be interesting to see what people say this week. I know Dan Shaughnessy had one of his farcical articles today about how
farcical
the
article.
Patriots will go all the way and every game will be as crazy as the next one and so on and so forth, you know, rather than doing any work. But that's okay. All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. And 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. We've got guests in the studio.
Guests who I'm mad at. I thought it was always a Patriots blowout victory when you guys were here. What happened to that?
We're graced by several members of the UK Patriots fan club who were here for the game, by the way. They didn't just get here today. They weren't born today. They were at the game.
They weren't born today.
In the South Bend.
So you got that? You guys weren't born today.
You guys were in the South Bend.
What does
that
even mean?
Right? Well, you know how to say I wasn't born today or yesterday, whatever it was. Howard
that
Weiss,
doesn't fit.
Who's actually he lives in New Hampshire, but he kind of coordinates.
They weren't born today.
Mark Jubb is here. Andrew Jeffrey is here. Alan Lyons is here, and Dylan Livella. How is that pronounced?
Dayan.
Like Dayan? Captain Dayan.
Lieutenant. It's Lieutenant Dayan.
Did I get Livella Dayan right? Livella. Diane Livella. Is that how you say it?
Sorry about that.
I'm only kidding.
Mocking him to his face.
That was close. I almost snapped.
Wait, how do you spell that? The first name?
D-E-I-A-N.
I thought it was an L. I'm sorry.
When you introduced yourself upstairs, I just thought it was Dan, D-A-N. That's what I was going with. I have that look all the time. I'm just an idiot.
So all you guys were here. So somebody, who wants to be the spokesman? Not Howard, because you're not Howard.
We want somebody with an accent.
Yeah. I want to hear, you know, your reaction to the game and what you were thinking, because you guys have been here before and you've never lost a game.
No, it's usually. Well, I thought there was one.
Oh, you did lose one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Andy, you want to hook him up over there?
Yeah.
But so, it's usually blowout victories, right? Isn't that your record?
You need a pin for
your
hat.
Were you here for like the Tennessee game or?
We usually win.
Yeah, you won this week. Yeah, I wasn't comfortable this week.
No.
So you usually win.
Yep.
And
you usually get a pin for your hat every time you're here?
Yeah, pin for the hat.
You got to have at least, what, 15 on there?
Oh, well, then no. They're not all game day ones. I've only got 5 game day
That would just be silly if they were all game day.
It's a heavy hat.
So what were you guys, I mean, how many, there were about 30 of you, right?
There's 35, I think,
35.
Came over.
Yeah. And so what were you guys saying, you know, when it just looked like, you know, there's no way that...
We were saying, look at all these idiots leaving.
Wow, good.
Well, you've got to stay to the end.
Were there a lot of
people?
You come
from the
leaving?
UK, I'm staying till the end.
That's true, you couldn't leave.
No. Yeah. No, you never leave. That's.
I agree with you, 100%, but I was telling you when I was... This was different to me.
No.
I think I might have left if I was a fan when Gronk got hurt. I think I might have left.
Why?
I don't know. I guess I do like Gronk more than any other player, because...
And that's fair, but
it just felt like a punch to the gut, and it's over, and I'm going to go sulk.
But to me, it was more of a punch to the gut to Gronkowski. I felt more bad for him than I did myself or the team.
Right, and that's part of it. You know? I do feel bad for him because I've now resigned myself, and I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so. This is going to be his career because of the way he played. That argument we had,
no,
I don't know if that was his rookie year.
And you've been right so far.
And
yeah.
It sucks. It's my Bo Jackson thing. Maybe it's my affinity for Bo Jackson, and he was... ruined by injury and taken away.
Right.
Maybe I think Gronk's going down. It just sucks, and I don't like it.
It really does.
Your career was ruined by injury.
That's true. I hadn't thought about that.
Oh, yeah, because you'd be playing in the NFL if it weren't for that.
No, but my career was ruined, and I may have had a better opportunity than just
Tufts. Wasn't good enough for you?
Where
do you want to go?
I might have been in, you know, Brown.
Brown.
Oh, so now you and Eric right. can have the together. Same, the same lament on right. your lives.
But not getting into Brown had nothing to do with football.
Well,
you weren't You weren't an Ivy League.
Well, he went to a school that was better than Brown.
Right.
I mean, let's call it. I mean, I make fun of him more than anybody, but he doesn't have to put his head down that he went to Tufts.
And I do think
I'd take Tufts over any of the Ivy League.
Well, I don't know. Eric would debate that.
I know.
Eric went to BU. What does he know?
Exactly. That's where I went. That's the perfect. My perfect thought. He thinks he's so smart, and yet he went to the same school that I did.
And he
and it was my
that.
Safety school.
And he has the same job you do.
Howard, we don't talk about this in other places, by the way.
Right. Howard's a Northeastern.
Howard's a big Northeastern family.
I watched the Super Bowl from.
So your I'm couch. Glad that you guys, and obviously, you know, I wouldn't think any less of you guys than to stick it out, because you guys are the best fans. I've seen it firsthand twice over in London. Whenever you guys come over here, you guys are true fans.
No, well, you do. You have to stick it out. I mean, we were at the Bruins game the night before. And again, same thing. People getting up, leaving, 4 minutes
to go. How
about
those two endings?
Yeah.
You know, it's good twice in the last minute and a half.
Yeah. Yeah. So you guys have been treated to some pretty good sporting events.
Pretty good.
Our
some concussions, some serious injuries.
Guys are dropping like flies, but you're winning.
Well, that's true, but you know, our two teams have been in front for 47 seconds.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's a great stat.
It was 31 for the Patriots, right? 31 seconds they led?
Yep.
And then
no, I thought it was 34. 34 seconds.
Okay, and
what
was it like, 13?
13 seconds.
For the Bruins?
For the Bruins.
Yeah. Two wins. Two had wins. Them all the way.
And you go home happy.
Yep. That's pretty much the way we thought it was going to go.
So, collectively, what's your thought going forward? Are you deflated? Or are you, you know what, we're going to do it anyway. What you feel? And be honest. And I can understand someone being deflated. I especially after we were told last week how much better we were now with Gronk back, and this is the reason for it, and with all the injuries to the defense, which is why they were winning when the offense wasn't playing well, there's a lot of reasons to be concerned. You know, so collectively, what do you guys think? You know, what are you thinking?
Well, I still think we will obviously we'll make the playoffs. I know. Yeah, if Miami win out and we lose out, I think we're on the outside looking in, aren't we?
We're not going to lose out. Don't worry about the playoffs.
That's not going to happen.
Let's talk about January.
I think we'll struggle.
He's shaking. His confidence is shaken.
Fred, that little pep talk didn't do it. You were intending it.
Try that again. Round two.
I'm pumped up.
See, he's ready.
Okay.
Keep in mind, we had 0 points when Gronk left the field.
Yeah.
What he said.
something about 0 points.
Point, they hadn't had any points when Gronk left halfway through the third quarter. They were being shut out.
Right. That's
and,
true.
You know, they ended up with 27 without Gronk.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
So they're better without Gronk.
That's how to put a positive spin on it.
They're still in it, though, aren't they?
And what was their record through six games?
5-1.
5-1.
5-1.
So they're better without Gronk.
They've lost more games with Gronk than they did
without
him.
Mike Felger's right. They're better without Gronk.
Yeah, the only problem with that theory is
it's stupid.
No, is the defense was not what it is now.
And the other problem with that theory, because Belichick did say, you know, he kind of did that spin he always does. Well, unfortunately, we've had to play without him a lot and did that early in the year, blah, blah, blah. Well, the other issue there is Tompkins and Dobson are also hurt and have missed Dobson two games, Tompkins one. That was part of your formula of offense. And Manawanui is hurt. So even like the three guys who were kind of next in line early in the year are hurt. Now you've got Shane Vereen back, but, you know, knock on wood, he stays back.
Right.
To me, the bigger thing is even what Fred talked about. Defensively, they played some bad teams early in the year, but they were able to shut them down. And now they're not shutting down bad teams. So it would be hard to imagine you being able to
pep talk's not going on
to win the shootouts that you were able to win you know when you had to, you know, like against Denver as an example, now without Gronk.
All right, round two, here's what we go with. Everybody else sucks too.
Well that's true.
Now that's the next.
All right, that was the only thing I was hanging my hat on with
Gronk, the NFC,
to be honest with you.
But that's the next phase of this discussion, is the state of the other teams that the Patriots will likely face.
Okay. And you can beat Cincinnati, you can beat Indy, you can beat Kansas City.
Well, look, I
you
think
you can beat
that
everybody.
Denver. I think that, you know,
you can beat everybody.
Even without Gronk, our offense is better now than it was the last time we faced Cincinnati.
Yeah,
so I think
I don't know.
You know,
I'm not willing to say.
You're not
that.
Willing to say that?
No.
No.
Really?
No.
Well, I mean, we'll see what the offense is like without Gronk.
What are you basing that on, Shane Green?
When the offense was without Gronk before, it wasn't very good. I mean, now it's without Gronk again.
Yeah, I'm basing it on having Shane Vereen, which you didn't have for that game.
Because our running game is you don't know what it's going to be and how it's going to produce.
If Dobson and Tompkins can't play, okay, but I think they're better now than they were then. You know?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I think they both hurt, so I don't think they're better players.
I said if they're...
But I'm saying if they play...
It was coming, ding, ding.
No, but what I'm saying is if they play, they're hurt, so they're not better than they were then when they were healthy.
Do you know the extent of their injury?
Well, I know Aaron Dobson's in a walking boot and hasn't played for two weeks
and practiced for...
Yeah, but that could be just a mobility thing, just, you know...
Yeah, that's kind of a key element of a wide receiver.
In other words, you don't know. You don't know how they're going to be when they get on the field.
I know they're not as good as they were against Cincinnati when they were both healthy.
No,
that's what I know.
See, I don't know that. You know, I'm not ready to jump to that negative conclusion.
So now they were healthy scratches.
I don't know that. I think that they're better players, NFL players, now than they were then.
I do appreciate
if they were at full health. I would
saving
agree
me
with
an
that,
hour and 20 minutes. At least I know where we're standing. When
you know,
we can't
Josh Boyce is better.
We can't say two guys that are injured and that missed the game due to injury
are
hurt.
You're right, Andy.
We can't say that.
I think you're right, Andy. Josh Boyce is better than he was. I mean, obviously, he wasn't even playing back.
He could
then
return kicks, and he played almost every snap the other day. He was out there a ton.
Right.
Maybe that gives you a boost, a big play. We've seen that before. We've seen a guy like Bethel Johnson make a big play that swings a game.
Sure. I'm a huge Boyce guy. I like Boyce.
You like Boyce.
He earns penalties.
I like Boyce.
Yes, he's very good at earning penalties that may be questionable.
You know, and I think Tom Brady is better now than he was back then.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that.
You're not so sure about that?
No.
No?
I still continue to see him struggle early. And, you know, I've heard people starting to theorize, like, the injection they're putting in the hand, if that's an issue, takes a while and they need to do that sooner or something, that it's medical. Because we've seen enough with the hand that there's still a hand.
Is he on the injury report with a hand?
No.
Nope.
Ixnay on the injury report, eh?
Well, you brought it up.
He has a hand issue.
Yeah.
We've watched him do stuff with that hand in various ways, tape, insert it in his pouch all the time, you know, whatever it may be throughout. I firmly believe there's something going on there. It clearly has no relevance as to whether he's going to play or not.
Right.
But I think you could argue...
You think it's affecting his throws?
He's been inaccurate.
Right.
And, you know, he's had some late surges. So I don't think it's idiotic to theorize...
I hadn't thought of it at all.
It loosens up, it gets toradoled, whatever.
Yeah. Absolutely. I hadn't thought of that at all, but that's interesting.
So let's go there. I mean, because I agree. He has been inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
Especially early.
Mm-hmm.
And then he seems to get accurate later in the game when he needs to. How do you explain that? Is it just adrenaline?
Gets a feel for it. I don't know. Gets a feel for how much he's off, and that I really don't know.
Yeah.
Because any of the answers, this has been going on for a few weeks. If there was an answer like that, he's smart enough, and they're smart enough. You'd think they would manage it better.
Right.
Okay, he needs to actually warm up earlier. He needs to do more throwing in the tunnel. He needs to do something.
Or different types of plays to get him in a rhythm.
Or said injection or said medication needs to be taken earlier or whatever it may be, and they haven't done that, so that kind of poo-poos that argument in my mind.
Yeah, it's strange. You know, where I won't go is, you know, and I hear it on the blog a lot, you know, early with the, you know, the slow starts. Oh, it's the play calling. You know, they need to call better plays.
No, the plays were there.
When he overthrows Gronk by 3 inches, and Gronk's got to step behind the guy, that's a play that's there. That's a good call.
A play that ignites a high flying start.
Right.
One to Edelman was the one that really stuck out to me this week. You know, he had him going across the deep cross and went off his hands. Now, I think Edelman probably should have.
I think he let up.
I think he probably should have ran through the ball. And I also think the throw was a little bit off, but. Those are plays that were there. You can't blame Josh McDaniels for that.
It's
the plays
all about
were there.
Execution. I think the play calling is fine. So then you get to execution, not just on Brady's part, but also on, you know, the receiver's part. You know, whatever urgency is helping them late in the game, they need to find that early too.
Yeah, I don't think they have an answer for it. I personally just think it's execution. It's easy to say, but a lot of these games have turnovers early or sacks early or, you know, tackles for a loss that stunt these drives. And I just don't think, you know.
That's one thing. You know, the pass protection in this game was an issue for almost the whole game. And then
I thought Nate Solder had one of his worst games.
Yeah, and then the last two drives, I don't know if the Browns sort of sat back a little bit.
or they just didn't get any pressure. If the offensive line was just flawless in the last two drives, I don't know, you know, if that was a combination of those two things, but he was under a lot of pressure for the better part of three plus quarters, and then all of a sudden didn't get that, and he was just dumping them off to Vereen.
And
they were
the
all
way,
short throws.
And the way the Browns were calling their offense, I think it's less likely that they sat back because they were still being aggressive.
Well,
on
you
offense.
Could argue that they should have played a prevent,
right?
Because I don't think they did. I don't. I think that there was the last. Three of the last four drives they had the ball, they get the 50-yard pass in the like very late in the third quarter to Vereen, which I think that can't happen. You just scored to go back ahead 19-3 right. or whatever it was at that
three
time.
Three plays.
And they let him go right down the field. And well, you're thinking if you're a Browns fan, if you can make them take 4 or 5 minutes here, you're probably still going to win even if they score a touchdown. And then you let them go right down the field to score a touchdown effortlessly. You probably should have been in some sort of pre-event. Now, I wasn't watching specifically to see what they were doing, and I wouldn't have probably known enough of the intricacies of what they do defensively to know if they changed a lot of stuff. But it seemed to me that they let guys get behind them. And even the pass interference at the end of the game, that you could question the call, but he's all by himself, really. That guy, mm-hmm. McFadden, was all by himself with Boyce. Now, he was in perfect position. He didn't get beat on the play. And it was, you know, if you're them, you're obviously kicking yourselves that you got that call. But you wonder, you know, why not, you know, give a where is the 6 or 7 or 8 defensive backs, you know, sort of lined throughout the end zone, make right. them make a miracle play to beat you, you know, right. like they almost had to do in Carolina.
Right.
You know, there was so many defensive backs against yeah. Carolina in the play that they
you
interfered with Gronkowski.
You weren't defending a field goal. You were defending a touchdown.
Yeah, and right. you wonder, you know, and make them earn it. And to me, yeah. going one-on-one down the sideline, you put yourself in a situation where that call can happen.
And by the way, I know people are asking, it was a bad call, that pass interference that the Patriots had. It was a terrible call. If that happened to the Patriots, we'd be screaming right now that we got robbed. Yeah, that was a terrible call. But I give the Patriots credit for getting in the position once again to take advantage of a call like that. You know, the execution prior to that was unbelievable. Paul, you mentioned the drive with Vereen. I don't know what the Browns were doing, but that was incredible.
I had no problem with that drive. You know, it was the third quarter drive that they let him go. So yeah. I actually thought the drive that
you had no problem with the Browns allowing yeah. Green to have three plays for a touchdown?
No, that was in the third quarter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the one I had a problem with. The other one, 82 yards, they made him take 11 plays.
Yeah.
I mean, it was only a minute 38, but when you're hurrying up and you're getting out of bounds and using timeouts, you're not going to take a lot of time off the clock. They made him go 11 plays. It was that one that you're talking about to me. If I'm a Browns guy, three plays, 72 yards. That's inexcusable.
Right. And it was an answer to a Browns score.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's inexcusable to me. That's the one that sort of gave the Patriots some life. Yeah. I thought Chudzinski coached a brilliant game with one major exception. And I think ultimately probably cost his team the win. It shouldn't have come to it, but I thought that their drive, him and North Turner recognized with a 5-point lead late in the game that a field goal wasn't going to do it. And they had five minutes and change, Andy, when you and I were talking about running out the clock.
Yep.
And I looked at Andy and I said, what do you think the chances are these bozos run out the clock? And sure enough, they went right down the field and ran out the clock. I mean, should have.
Right.
They recognized from the 4-yard line, and Bill even mentioned this, in the post game, that a field goal wasn't going to do you any good. They could sit there and run the ball three times and kick a field goal and make it an 8-point game, and they would have taken a little bit more clock, but that wouldn't have been any good because mm-hmm. they would have left the Patriots with a chance to go down and tie the game, and they knew that. And they said, no, we're going to go play action here, and we're going to throw it in. And even the throw to get down to the 4 was one that they were well in field goal range at about the 15-yard line, right. and they threw the ball down to the 4 to set up first and goal.
Right.
Which to me, I thought was brilliant play calling. And then he throws the play action pass to Cameron for the touchdown. But here's where he screws up. After the pass interference, they get the ball 35 seconds left on the 1-yard line. First of all, they're going to score. I could make an argument that they should have let him score. But I understand if you're a football coach, you don't want to let him score. And if you can keep him out, you win. Okay. The clock is stopped with 35 seconds left and you call timeout. That's asinine. And that completely cost them any chance they had of kicking a field goal to win the game. If they had a timeout in their pocket when they complete those 4 passes,
they might have
now
been
you
able,
got one more
sure.
play. Yep. And now you can get 10 yards closer, yep. and now the 58-yarder becomes a 48-yarder, and you win on the same kick. Now, maybe Cundiff remembers he's Cundiff, and and misses it.
But, right. But,
you know, 58 yarder, he right. probably came about 2 or 3 yards short. If it's even 5 yards,
right.
he probably has a chance to make that.
Speaking of being Cundiff, did you even see his comments about, I thought I got a good shot. You know, I had a look, my calf cramped up. Like, he had an excuse already. Like, well,
his kickers are a weird breed.
The kick was on target.
Yeah.
It was just short.
But yeah. that's kind of an easy one because no one expects you to make it. There's no pressure.
That's exactly how I look at
those.
You're
just booming it.
You just kick it like the Prater kick,
there's
for the 64.
There's
no thought
the
here.
The only way you get criticized is if somehow it goes like out of bounds, like you kick it 40 yards.
But
away.
Even then, I don't even care.
They had it set up quick.
Right.
They didn't have any time.
But he already had a ready-made excuse about his calf cramping up.
Yeah.
What a baby. Speaking of that, kickers, we got the good one.
But I
good to him.
I just want to go back to say, as bad as that pass interference call was, I think the execution leading up to that was unbelievable, and the Patriots earned that win. You know, so I don't want to hear any of that. You know, they should have had 11 wins going into that game because of referees' calls. So as far as I'm concerned, we're still minus one in that column.
And that's,
we're still
that's the beauty
more.
Of the Patriots fan. They could get that win and still think that they got screwed.
We're still
that's
minus,
the beauty
see,
of
I
the Patriots
still minus
fan.
One in
I think
that
the
column.
Ledger is even for Carolina. You evened it out. That was a terrible call
what about
in
the
end
Jets
zone.
Game?
Yeah, I don't really have a problem.
Yeah, we're still 0-1.
I don't know how you think. But how was the
playoffs?
But how was the Jets game a win?
What?
So let's say
it would have been a win. It would have been a win.
What?
It
been a that's win. My point with Patriots fans.
With Patriots fans.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, we've
right.
won.
No
we've,
other fans are like that.
We've
just
won.
Patriots
we've won six games
just,
on the last
just
play
the
of the game.
Fans.
Six games on the last play of the game when we're looking for the call.
And we earned every damn one of them.
Except this one.
He's beautiful.
All right. Web radio at Patriots.com.
After he goes through a 10-minute diatribe on how bad that pass interference call is.
Right.
It was. It was
they
a terrible
it.
Call.
They
when are you
going to
talk about Steven Gostkowski and the great job he's doing?
Unbelievable. Well, special teams overall.
Right. But, I mean, this is a guy that hit 253 yarders last week.
Incredible.
So a 50-yarder this week. That's part of the scoring you needed. And then a perfect onside kick that you recover.
I don't know what he's
just
doing.
Just don't tell him it went
it.
9 yards.
Yeah. No, he has been incredible.
Yeah. I think he's the MVP. The most consistent, best player on this team doing
well,
this
job. Well,
at
the bye, we named him the offensive MVP. Nothing's really changed.
I think.
I have to agree with you. Because,
Start to finish.
I made my passionate argument for Gronk, and we all saw how that ended up, because now he's out. So, I'm back to Gostkowski.
Yeah.
MVP.
Yep.
Never good when your kicker's the MVP.
No.
It's kind of a bad sign for
your team. When your rookie punter is the
number
MVP.
Two.
Right. You know, but he's had a good season as well, Ryan Allen. And I think overall special teams, I don't think they've let up a punt or kickoff return for a touchdown.
No, they've been good.
The kick coverage to me, I think, has been shaky.
A little spotty at
punt,
times.
Punt coverage has
but
been
But it hasn't killed them. And, I, you know, the execution on the onside kick was flawless.
Middle bunt.
Yeah.
Middle bunt.
So, no, it's, you know, special teams is an important part of the game. It's
really important when you play every game by 7 or 3 points.
Right, and the Patriots have shown that. And, you know, Bill coming up in the ranks as a special teams coach, I think, pays off later in his career. He's emphasized it.
I'll give Scott O'Brien some credit, too. That is his job.
Oh, yeah. But
and we've certainly criticized him
at times
over the years.
But there are certain head coaches that don't give that
They don't
part
want to
the,
kick field goals?
You know, what's his name? Mike Martz. Maybe I should spend some time thinking about special teams. Yeah, I think you should.
He wanted his guy to miss the field goal.
You know?
He's just trying to get into a fight with you.
It's okay. It's okay.
He won't take it today, though.
I'm feeling good. I feel bad.
I'm feeling good. Fred,
I feel bad.
Speaking of contrarians, Fred's going to play the role of contrarian
Why
today.
Are you feeling good?
Because our team is 10-3.
Nothing is over.
Because we scored 12 points in the last minute one against a 4-win team.
Because we continue to dig holes, and we changed the formula this week. The last couple weeks, we'd come out of halftime and start scoring and come back. Now we wait till the very end.
They're feeling pretty good.
They control their fate. And, you know, you guys have told me over the years, I keep saying, you know, why are they always so good? And you chalk it up to having Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Well, they still have them.
They do. You're right.
So I don't know why you guys think, you know, everything's lost.
No, I don't think
it is. I don't know why you keep saying
that.
I don't know why you keep saying
that. They've been good over the years.
I think
they still have.
But why do you keep making an argument for Andy and I saying everything is lost when neither one of us has said anything like that?
Pretty much every comment you made since the beginning of the show lends me to think that you think that way.
What have we said? Name one.
You know?
That I don't think
every negative comment.
That I don't think the two guys that are hurt are better than they were when they're healthy?
You know, they're 4-win team. They had a couple. You know, I hear it all. I hear all your snarky comments.
But that's not.
They don't go by me.
That's not. not a snarky comment.
Just because at the time,
I'm glad you didn't take the bait. By the way,
just because good
job
time,
by you.
I don't address them.
Good job by you
I
not taking the bait.
I just want
to. You're rising above it all.
You're
good
not
job.
Staying with Felger. Their chances of going to and winning the Super Bowl are worse today than they were on Sunday.
Correct. Okay. I agree with that.
Because that's where I feel.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
I still think they have a very good chance to
go. I don't know why you have to be so sky is falling over there. I don't know why you have to be like that.
Now he's
but now
that thing
before
he does.
I thought their chances were here and now they're here.
Fred had a high hand and then a slightly less high hand.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not a snarky comment to say that they had to score two touchdowns in the last minute and 1 second to beat a four-win team. That's a fact.
Yeah,
that's not a snark.
That's how you say.
Oh, and every team that's supposedly better always wins the way it's prognosticated. You know, never in the NFL does
always
a team
or every
four,
week
with it, four it, wins, you know, give a better team a hard time.
See, now what
that are, never happens in
all
the
right,
NFL.
So now who's being,
oh my God.
Who's being snarky now?
I don't know how Cleveland got four wins.
I, to be honest with you, I don't.
Yeah.
Watching them play. I mean, I don't know how
they're
won the
so
four
bad.
That they won.
Yeah.
And Josh Gordon's pretty good.
But
Jordan Cameron's pretty good.
Yeah.
Did we look at the
I mean, when you have a guy that has two 200-yard games in a row, he's pretty good.
Are you two done?
Especially with the quarterbacks that they have.
I can't
Based
tell
on the
what,
look
I,
on Paul's face.
I can't tell who he's arguing
I'm
with.
Telling you, I'm saying they have good players too.
But then you just made fun of their quarterback.
Right. But I'm saying,
and then you make fun of me for saying that it's
I'm
all about the quarterback.
Josh Gordon is no flash in the pan. He's got legit talent. He's he's for real.
Okay, but he doesn't have anybody
to
throw the
ball. He's not a making of the Patriots defense.
You win, Andy. I'm out because I'm baffled.
You know.
All right, so you're worried about the defense because I am.
Yes.
Because this was one of those games where you can feel good about stopping the run all you want. Their run sucks. Willis McGahee is a skeleton. They're dead. They're terrible. And we always like to say, well, if you give Bill Belichick one or two specific things to take away, he takes them away. This was not that game because Jordan Cameron killed you, led them in receptions, and Josh Gordon killed you.
Yeah, their two main guys killed you.
And this was the first game all year, in my opinion, that Aqib Talib matched up with a guy and lost, just flat out lost the matchup. The other guy was better than him. And I'm assuming that's because he's still hurt, which makes me feel worse about the postseason.
Or maybe Josh Gordon is really, really good.
Yeah.
No?
Is he any better than Julio Jones?
Maybe. I don't
or
know.
Or A.J. Green?
He might be.
And I'm giving Talib
credit.
I don't
know.
I think Talib is better than the performance we saw on Sunday. And coming off the heels of Andre Johnson, they didn't match up. I still think it's a health thing. I think Talib is limited. And that worries me moving forward because that was such a big part of the defense.
Yeah.
And
it does worry me, certainly if like a doctor says, and it's not going to get any better week
right.
to week.
And I can't see how it is. He took a month off and it didn't get better, so he's not going to take another month off.
It just tells me that every week is going to be a struggle, and it's going to be up to these coaches to come up with some type of game plan that hides weaknesses, as many as they are, and maximizes the matchups that they think we have an advantage at, and then you get a little lucky.
Well, that's what I think you're to the point where you need other teams to make mistakes, play down to their weaknesses rather than up to their strengths, and that sucks, because I think you're going to struggle to win week after week in the postseason a couple games in a row.
Sure.
Because you are. You're hoping Manning chokes in the cold. You're hoping, you know, the Bengals are the Bengals, and that's what they do. You're hoping for that rather than saying, no, we're just going to go in there and beat them. You know, I was disappointed in the pass rush. I thought Chandler Jones just sort of was a non-factor, just didn't really show up very much.
No, they did a good job on
and
him.
That's another, you know, the defense is so banged up, and the guys that you still have and count on, like Talib, like Jones, I thought had bad games against Cleveland.
On the other hand, I thought Hightower had a decent game.
Best game he's had this season, in my opinion.
You know?
Even though the refs robbed him of a potential big play.
Right.
Robbed him.
Right. And, you know, the thing I liked, the thing that stood out for me with him was all of a sudden his quickness and speed. Like he seemed to, I don't know if it was a lack of hustle on other games, but he seemed faster than he usually does.
There's a lot of people questioning his motor.
I hear that a lot.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any veracity to it, but it's a very common
So I don't know if he's been listening to this show or but it seems
maybe
like
maybe it was because the guy he was chasing was Willis McGahee.
Well,
this
that's
week.
What I think.
Well,
I
no,
know.
It seemed
maybe
like
maybe he just looked, like Paul was the running back.
Maybe he
the
just
team.
Looked faster.
No, it was also in coverage. I
back
just
who
he
looks 63.
What did he say?
He wants to fight you, just so you know.
What did he say?
What did he say?
What did he say?
He just said the back who looked like he was 63. It was
okay.
No shot at
all
you,
right.
Gramps.
I just think overall he seemed faster for whatever reason.
And I also thought Jamie Collins had a nice game. He continues to look like a long athlete who gets in the way.
Except for one play that stood out to me toward the end there where he was absolutely supposed to take the guy coming out of the backfield and did nothing, just stood there. And I think it was on that play to the 4-yard line. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know, but I know that he was getting he got some criticism for biting on the play action fake on the goal line. I give him no criticism for that.
Why?
Because you should be biting on the play action fake at the goal line. Bill Belichick bit for the play action fake. Matter of fact, he said that they took us by surprise with that decision to throw the ball right there. I think you got to sell out right there to stop the run on a play at a 4-yard line in that situation. All signs pointed to it. Running the ball and
I agree. He was doing his job on that play.
But the only problem he won't do that in 3 years because if you watch the way he's getting hit, it was obvious that
I'm not giving him complete absolution, but I'm saying it's understandable that he bid on a play action fake.
And I'm saying it's understandable as a rookie. I think in 3 years he gets a feel for the tight end and says he's not really trying to block me. That's one of those experience
your instincts.
You just feel it. Yeah. You feel it, and I think he'll feel that in 3 years.
All right, let's go to the phones. We got people holding on patiently. Chester's in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's up, guys? Want to give a huge shout out to my boys with the UK Patriots. How you doing, fellas?
Big shout out to the
shout
UK
out to
Patriots
the UK.
Fans.
You guys want to shout back? Go.
It
was weak, but they yelled.
Hey, I just want to say thanks for what you guys do with the support. I love the fact that you guys come across the pond to give us a little something extra. I'm not sure, is Martin Burns in the crowd over there?
No.
No.
Ah, that's one of my boys with the UK, guys. Anyway, just wanted to say thanks, guys. Boy, another Paul Perillo rock fight. And our boy Gronk takes the boulder to the knee.
Yeah.
Such a bittersweet day. You know, shame on all of us for mailing in a comfortable win. I mean, this has got to be the real trap game after Denver. I know we kind of touched on that, but, man, our team really responded as such. I mean, it was just awful first start, as you guys were talking about. You know, in fact, this game was just like the Redskins game in 2011 when Rex Grossman and Dante Stallworth torched us. You guys remember that one?
That's the one where Mayo had the early strip sack and touchdown. It was in Washington.
Anyway,
No, that was the.
I don't even remember Mayo ever having a strip sack.
No. It was a hit coming up in coverage, and it was him and the special team.
He clinched the game with interception. I remember that game.
It was him and the special teamer made the play.
Yes, Tracy White.
You know, it was late in the season.
I remember the game.
We just laid an egg. I mean, you know, it just was so reminiscent of that. But by the way, the boys PI call to me was a good call. I mean, the guy tucked his shoulder pad right as the pass was coming in.
Well, then it's holding.
Not even Fred Kirsch thought it was a penalty, ladies and gentlemen.
I can't go there, Chester. Because I know if I was a Patriot, if that happened to the Patriots, I would be still screaming about it. So I can't go there. I can't.
I know. That whole eye for an eye argument, you know, keeps going around as far as
I'm not the eye for an eye.
I don't care about an eye for an eye. I just want pass interference to be pass interference.
I'm with you there. I think we were owed it. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if that happened to the Patriots, I'd be still I'd say now we're 0-3 because I would say we got screwed again.
The dude shouldn't have tugged his shoulder pad and he would have been clean.
I don't even think that's what
I didn't
the call
see a tug
was.
Of the shoulder pad.
He did do that, but it was
I saw
early
hand,
in the route.
I saw hand fighting the whole way down.
It was very early in the route that he did that.
Hey, well. That being said, you know, I want to talk a little bit about life after Gronk. You know, to me, I want to see a little bit more of Dublin. I love the way this kid's playing.
Yeah.
I know he can block. I know he's got both positions listed. So, you know, why don't we give him a little extra run? He could be a guy that flies under the radar a little bit. I mean, who the hell knows about, my knee's screwy. I mean, this guy is absolutely not able to.
My knee's screwy. That's good.
My knee is screwy. I mean, that's his nickname in my book. But,
he might be back this week, though. Don't hate on him.
That catch that Devlin had was impressive.
Oh, very.
I mean, he snatched that out of the air like a receiver.
But I like this kid. He's tough, you know, and we're going to have to find a spot there, you know, and I also like the way Mulligan plays, too, in spots. But, you know, if I have to go on a limb, I'd like to see more Devlin in the plan there. But, you know, at the end of the day, guys, you know, I ain't counting this season out. And just as a reminder, a couple weeks ago, I think, Andy, it was you, man. You said if Gronk was out, our season's done.
Yep.
And I know I'm hearing a lot of this in fan nation. I disagree. This is a gritty team. In fact, I haven't seen grit like this since the early 2000s. And I know talent's different, but this team is never going to be out of it because they're tough. They've got the balls that I've been calling for this last year. I'm keeping the faith, you know, and at the end of the day, like you guys say so eloquently, it's a crap. League.
Right, and why not keep the faith? What?
Man, let's keep the pedal down. I don't want this fan nation to start getting mopey about.
Right,
we got to keep moving. We got to keep winning. and we got this division by the balls.
Right.
That's all I got, guys. I love you all. Over and out.
Thanks, Jess. I mean, what's the point of giving up hope now if you're a fan? Well, I mean, then you might as well just turn and do something else. It's more fun if you go in with some hope and, you know, get
because
behind.
No one wants to be disappointed. No one wants to set themselves
really?
Up for
and,
a fall.
And then what happened? Unless you're betting your house on it, okay, so they don't end up winning. Big deal.
I don't know.
Go in it thinking you're going to win and don't, you know,
I'm moping.
Mope around.
I'm just going to be honest. I'm moping.
Eeyore.
It's a combination of Gronk and also what I said earlier. Before the game, I said, can you have two trap games in a row? And I don't think you can because then you're just not a very good team if it's multiple trap
right.
games in a row. Yeah. And they had multiple trap games in a row. So now you just say, well, they're not as good as I think they are. They're not.
They're working through some issues.
Now they have more issues, right? Because you add the Gronk, the biggest issue possible.
All depends.
And I love James Devlin more than anyone. I'm a big fan, love fullbacks, great catch, all of that. But him having an increased role, I don't believe, is the answer
to
this
team.
Yeah,
I don't either.
The guys that are going to have increased
Ridley.
Role are, well, I don't know about that, but the rookies. You need Dobson and Tompkins to be healthy, and you might ask Boyce to do more. And now Shane Vereen is going to be a key factor. You can't afford to have him go down the injury-prone road either.
That's true.
I mean, we've talked about that. You were focusing on two guys being the key to your offense, Vereen and Gronkowski. For weeks, we were saying they'll be back. Your offense will be
is
better.
Is there any chance that Amendola steps up production?
No. I don't think so.
You don't
so.
Think so?
I think he's hurt. I mean, I think he's
he might
all
catch
year.
More passes, but I don't necessarily think he'll be any more productive.
He's lost the spring in his legs because his groin's not attached.
Yeah. He doesn't have, to me, he doesn't have any explosion.
They just showed it on NFL Network. Ooh, Judy.
Let's go to Marcus in Miami. Marcus, how you doing?
I'm not doing too good, guys. I've been listening to the show. I've been listening to everybody on Twitter, and everyone's been saying how they, you know, the Fairweather fans are saying they're giving up. They're walking away. They're going to watch the revolution or whatever. But I look at it like this. I mean, how many Super Bowls did we win with Gronkowski? None, right?
Right.
We
right.
had a bunch of no-name people. I mean, look at. I'm gonna just say I have 2 points. Aaron Rodgers. Remember that team when they beat the Steelers that year? They had like 11 people on injured reserve. They still won the Super Bowl, right?
Right.
And then they beat them by like 10 points. So, I mean, that was inside in Dallas. This Super Bowl's outside. We're equipped for it. I mean, I look at it like this. My last point about that, what about the Saints when they won the Super Bowl? They didn't have Jimmy Graham, right? They just
right.
picked Peyton Manning apart. So, I mean, it's one of those things where we've been looking at this. I mean, when the Gronk injury happened, I couldn't even see it. The game wasn't on. Miami, obviously, idiots had the Steelers game on. But I was watching you guys on Twitter, and everyone collectively was saying, like, the injury looked bad. So, I mean, after about an hour, I kind of wrote it off like, man, this is really going to be hard to win a Super Bowl. But, I mean, the Packers had basically no names, and they won a Super Bowl. I mean,
hey, when the Patriots won in 2001, they were 14-point underdogs.
Exactly. So, I mean, it can happen. It's just – Who are we going to get? I mean, we just got to survive the rest of the season. I mean, obviously, my boy showed up, Andy. Josh Boyce, finally, he showed up. You know, hopefully he can do a little bit more on the kick return and get a couple of get his sea legs on him. But I still think that, I mean, if he wins this Super Bowl, forget the fifth Super Bowl. I mean, Brady is the best ever because look who he had to deal with. All these injuries. I mean, we'll have nobody on defense, basically. I think they said that we have 22 or 15 Pro Bowls.
Yeah, he's certainly making the case for MVP, no doubt.
Yeah, without Peyton, I mean, and he hasn't even thrown. How many touchdowns does he have? Peyton has 44. I know Brady doesn't.
I think he has
21.
Right.
21. He has, you know, I mean, that's just ridiculous. I mean, I look at it like this, guys. We're blessed to have a team that never gets blown out. I mean, the last time we got blown out, I remember, is when we played the Colts. Sunday Night Football, the whole fourth down thing with Belichick, and we played the Saints on Monday night the next year, and those two teams went to Super. That was the last time we got blown out. The last 4 years with the defense that we have, we always draft in the higher top of the first round. We don't never get a chance to be like the Steelers were, or Tennessee, or the Lions, who keep getting all these top number one picks. We always pick 25 or above. So we have to pick and choose who we have, and we still never get blown out.
That's right,
Marcus. When's the last time do you guys remember us getting blown out?
Anybody? Well, I don't know about the score-wise, you're right, but I do remember games where we were completely outplayed. But, you know, Belichick is, you know, he is a great defensive coach, and they figure out a way to limit points, even when they were the worst in the league in yards allowed, they weren't that bad when points allowed. And you're right, Marcus. So that keeps them from getting blown out.
I mean,
Cleveland,
I
maybe 2010.
Yeah, that was
a blowout.
Yeah,
34-14.
Those two games, I kind of bailed in. Like, look, well, I mean that. I mean, he started turning over the defense. It was ugly back then, but we're doing better now. I mean, hopefully we can. I mean, we have to run the ball. I mean, we got to trust Ridley.
Yeah, so. This season very well could end up being one of those. You know, what could have been. You know, if the defense had stayed healthy and all stuff. But,
definitely.
You know, look, every team is dealing what they have right now. And the Patriots are dealing with it to the tune of 10-3.
We're doing good.
Absolutely.
I mean, as the UK Patriots fans all sniff.
We had a live audience just do the sniff.
You got that right. Group sniff.
Listen, guys, what do you think do you think we draft a tight end in the first round next week?
Oh, I don't even want to talk about the draft right now.
Look, we have to go going forward.
If there's a in their position, if there's a tight end that they think is great, yeah, they'll draft him, sure. But I also think if there's a safety, cornerback, offensive lineman, defensive tackle that they value high, they'll draft that too.
It's definitely a need.
Yeah.
It's gone from the strength of the team a summer ago to a need.
Sure. But I think there's a lot of needs.
The draft before the Hernandez thing, right? The draft, I mean, he went into camp before the whole, he got picked up for the Chargers. I mean, we didn't even think about grabbing we knew Gronk was going to be out for a little bit. Hernandez was in mini camp. I mean, the draft, I mean, that Hernandez thing took us by surprise to everybody, but now it's like, all right, you know, we don't have Ballard. I don't know, but go Patriots.
All right, Marcus.
I don't know. Go Patriots. Right.
Hey, you know what? So what? Chris with a TIN. Hey, Christian.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm hanging my head, that's for sure.
Ah, so, come on.
Be prepared to get yelled at.
Come on, Christian.
Seen somebody score so quick since the last time I met your mother.
I'm so depressed, I can't even come back.
I'm depressed too, Christian. Are you would you have left the game if you had been here?
No.
Oh.
Based on this year, no way.
I would have. I've never left a game in my life, and I would have left when Gronk got hurt.
No, not with the Saints game. I mean, certainly the first half, they didn't give you any reason to, you know, make you stay.
Then they fumble.
But, you know, I look at it this way. You know, everybody wants to bring up the 0-1 pass on how, you know, we didn't have anybody then. That's a slap in the face to that defense, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
Okay. It's also a slap in the face to the way that team was sort of building.
How well they were playing.
Yeah, they were building towards the postseason. I'm not sure you can argue this team is building towards the postseason right now.
No, not when your last two losses have come against one team that has two wins and fired their coach a week later, and another team has Jason Campbell and, you know, two skilled players on offense just torch you. I mean, absolutely just smoke you. And that's the reason why I'm down. Not obviously because Gronk is gone, but this defense gives me no hope that they're going to be able to do anything to stop anybody.
That's my fear, is that you were able to get by without Gronk because your defense was playing well, and now your defense is playing horribly.
Yeah, and they just, Fred, I got nothing to hang my hat on the defensive side of the ball. And Paul agrees, and I'm sure Andy agrees too. There's nothing to hang your hat on.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, these guys will look for anything to.
No, that's not true.
Patriots on.
You're so what? BS. Nobody positive to say about people when they're making plays and doing things positively than we do. But we can also acknowledge that Christian's right. What are you good at defense right now? What is the thing you can hang your hat on? Nothing. You don't get pressure, you can't cover, and you can't stop the run.
They've been making stops in critical times.
Not Sunday, they didn't.
You know?
When?
Not Sunday. They
I would
didn't.
Say win too. I don't.
Well, the week before against Houston.
The week before they stopped them the last time. I'll give them credit for that. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, so look,
it was 34-31, and Houston had plenty of time to get out and tie the game, and they stopped them.
The defense is not as good as it was.
Of course, Logan
early.
Ryan raped somebody
there's
on
no
the outside
doubt about
to stop
it,
them, but
you know, but I haven't given up.
I haven't given up either, but I can acknowledge the flaws in this team, which are many.
Oh, and I think I've done that. You know, but okay. But I think
maybe
every team has.
Well, he did just address. You know, he kind of addressed it when he said this team's got a lot of holes. When you're talking about the draft, they got to draft X, Y, Z, Q, and R.
And I think every team has holes.
That's how he addresses it.
You know,
I agree with you. I'm hanging my hat on
this,
this team. This league sucks, and that there's a lot of bad teams out there.
In this NFL, anything can happen.
A one-eyed man's going to win the Super Bowl.
You know,
I don't like that.
If you're not happy unless you have the steel curtain, okay, I can understand you're not being happy. because, you know, they're.
See, I don't really care about the steel curtain. I had the offensive equivalent of the steel curtain until halfway through the third quarter. That's what I'm down about. Well, and you know, unlike some people, I hate these injuries.
Well, by the way, Burger King I hate just came serious out with injuries. A Big Mac type hamburger.
Yeah, I've seen that with its own like special sauce, which looks identical.
Yeah.
It's good non sequitur.
Nothing can distract Fred like a burger.
Well, I just wanted
more,
to say,
more yucks from the UK.
UK crew and great open by Kevin. That was uplifting. And,
yeah.
It was nice
I think it's
that.
Still going on if you go to Channel B.
Yeah.
Channel B.
I was left wondering what happened on that third drive of the second quarter.
I thought Flutie was on Channel B in his retirement.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Chris.
Flutie and Taylor Twellman.
One more call. Actually, more calls are coming in. But anyway, self-proclaimed Joel from Atlanta is on the line.
Self-proclaimed
right.
Joel.
No, oh, I think his parents proclaimed him Joel from Atlanta.
What's going on?
Nothing, guys. Just here in the car, just listening to you guys.
Okay.
Being antisocial again at lunchtime. Do you have no coworkers you'd like to eat lunch with?
Not really.
Okay.
To be honest. You know.
I think that says something more about you than them.
Hey. Yeah, you know, but no. To talk about what was that, Christian?
Yes, with a T I A N.
Yeah, there's a lot of upside this season. I'm not sure if he was around during the 2001 Patriots season where we lost Bledsoe. I mean, I don't know if you guys agree, but this team reminds me of the 2001. One, we didn't have great receivers then. We don't have great receivers now. Our biggest player went down in Drew Bledsoe. Our biggest player went down in Gronk. Granted, when it came down to a big game, Patriots were able to pull out the win. And I think if you're a fan and you know your team, like I know the Patriots, you know in any big game, the Patriots have a chance to win. And I believe, honestly, and I truly believe this, I truly believe that the Patriots are the best team in the AFC.
Yeah, I don't even know about that, but I'm going to go back to what you just said, Joel, and I'll put this out to the boys here.
Am I allowed to answer it?
Yeah, don't you feel that the Patriots have a chance against anyone?
I absolutely feel that. That's why I took so much exception to you telling me that I think the season's over.
As a fan, then, why would you be like, downcast right now?
Because I don't have as good a chance as I did yesterday.
So
that's why.
As long as you got a shot, that's all you're asking
Joel,
for.
Here's the flaw. Joel, give me a second. Here's the flaw in what you just said. In 2001, they lost their best player in Bledsoe and replaced him with a guy.
I found out he really wasn't their best player.
Exactly! You replaced him with a guy who was better, and not only better, but
Matthew
he was
Mulligan's
better.
Gonna be running
he was
down the
better
field.
By a lot.
Paul, do you truly believe at that time Brady was the better quarterback at that time?
Did I know that in week three? No. But by the end of the year, I knew it.
Paul.
Yes.
Granted, Brady is a Hall of Fame quarterback. Bledsoe's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
Come on, guys. Y'all got to give Bledsoe.
There's nobody.
He's not a Hall of Fame.
There's nobody on this planet that's a bigger Drew Bledsoe fan than me. He's not a Hall of Fame quarterback.
He's a Patriot. He's in a Patriots Hall
of
Fame.
Yes, he is.
Okay, there we go. So he's a Hall of Fame somewhere.
Yeah.
But, okay.
I think Washington State, too, right?
Yeah.
Probably Walla Walla.
Brady was not. Who is the Brady then was not the Brady now.
But by the end, but
I know, but this didn't happen.
Joel,
there's no one
when Tom Brady replaced Drew Bledsoe.
Right,
he played better than Drew Bledsoe. Yeah.
There's no one that's going to come in now and oh my God, he's better than Gronkowski. That ain't happening.
Oh, plus what's lost?
Third, fourth, fifth game, he was playing at a level higher than Bledsoe had played.
And I don't even really care about the quarterback position. I think that team had a defense that was good and filled with playmakers.
That was Christian's
that team had a running game that could run the ball, and that team had a special teams unit that had a knack for making big plays.
This
team has none of those.
Joel, I certainly have hope, and thanks for the call. I certainly have hope for the team, but it's not that some guy's going to come out of nowhere and become a Hall of Famer. And let's put it another way. If you put this defense back against the Rams in that game, would this defense have been able to do what that defense did?
But that's what that's what people are talking
but
about.
They won't have to play the Rams in the Super Bowl.
They do have
They'll
to play the Broncos in the AFC title game.
But they will have to play the Rams to get to the Super Bowl.
in the Broncos. Yeah, but something's going to happen there.
Okay.
See, as long as that's what we're hanging our hat on, something's going to happen.
But, again, and that's why I'm okay with that. As like what Fred's point is, like the whole thing, if you don't feel like you have hope, what's the sense of not having hope? I don't feel like it's hopeless. Yeah. I don't.
I don't think I don't, there's any team that the Patriots play. They have no shot.
But the problem is,
I don't think that.
But, no. but before Sunday, there were teams that I didn't feel like had a shot against the Patriots.
That's
that
fine.
I now do think.
Right. So it's have tougher now. It's tougher now.
And you know, if you're asking me what I think, I don't think good. I don't think it's going to end well. But to say that they have no hope, I don't really see a lot of people saying they have no hope.
Oh God.
They don't have a chance. They're playing a game tomorrow.
I'll get to the emails.
Wait. Do you think? All right. Let me give you this. Okay. They're playing at Miami this week. Do they have hope?
Of course.
They're favored. So there's not a lot of people that think that they have no hope.
I'm not talking about bookmakers. I'm talking about supposed fans.
Fred, do you understand supposed. How a bookmaker Ooh. Makes a line? The line is based on what he thinks.
Now, here we go.
No, but it's based on what they think the public perception is. That's what a line is.
They think what the
so
money
So public
will
perception
go.
Is the Patriots
well, it starts,
are favored
it
to win.
It starts who they think will win and how much, and then the public perception changes that line or it keeps it the same.
But if the public perception is that Miami is going to win.
They don't take a poll.
No, what I'm saying is they – all right. He just cannot be talked to today, so I'm just going to let it slide. They have hope.
I'm not going to let you get me down, Paul Perillo.
I'm not trying
I'm
to get you down.
I'm not going
to
let you do it.
I'm trying to tell you that if the strength of your argument is simply saying that I think they have a chance to win, I don't think you're going to find too many detractors. I don't think there's going to be too many
Again,
guys.
I'll get to the emails, and we'll see if I'm right
but
or
here,
you're right.
But here –
We know you've read
I want
already.
You to stick to what
I mean,
just...
these are people who take the time to listen to this show.
Well, we just had how many callers
Why
in a row?
Why am I sounding like Salk right now?
How many That's callers in a row? Just how many callers in a row just said they could still do it?
I said to the emails.
Okay, so we'll ignore the ones that don't fit your argument, and we'll just focus on the ones that
I'm
do.
I'm just saying there are people out there.
I just think that most people feel like they would have a chance, but not a good one.
Not as good one.
Okay,
yeah, I agree with that.
That's what I think you're going to get in a steady stream of emails. We had a chance with Gronk, and now it's much more difficult.
You know, these...
But they're not going to go into a game in the playoffs against Cincinnati and say, we don't have any hope. Patriots fans aren't going to do that, at least not very many of them.
Big Don's in Cali. Hey, Big Don.
What's going on, fellas?
Oh, you know, we're just getting ready for the playoffs here.
Fred's just finalizing the travel plans for the Super Bowl.
Right, which we'll probably go to anyway.
Oh, don't say that.
I got a situation as far as with the defense. I noticed like earlier during the year we ran a man-to-man defense, and the defense was a lot better than like when we played Cleveland. I noticed we was getting beat a lot with us running the zone. So why don't we just run a man-to-man or maybe blitz more? I noticed we don't even blitz.
Well, you're right about the man-to-man. Because they were better then because Tlaib was better then. That's why they were able to do that. And Dennard was healthy.
They were all better then. They were all healthy. Yeah. Every one of them is dealing with injuries except McCourty, really.
Don't diminish Dennard. I think Dennard, you know, where he's not as good as Tlaib was.
Is he still hurt too?
He's aching.
Yeah. He missed a lot of the game the other day.
Yeah, he can't get through 60 minutes.
Which is no fault of his. I mean, he had knee surgery 2 weeks ago.
Tough SOB. Getting out there. I mean, that looked like that was serious. Mm-hmm. When he left the game, he went in the locker room, he came back, Dennard. I give him a lot of credit.
You know, so
I think we need I like Jamie Collins. Jamie Collins looked very athletic. I think Bill need to use him more as well.
He's getting better.
And if they're going to have success, some of these guys are going to come on, whether it's the three rookie receivers, Jamie Collins, Logan Ryan. You know, some of these guys are going to – they don't have to make Brady-like ascensions to their now superstar Hall of Famers, but – they're going to come on and contribute. They're going to make more plays than they've made.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Big Don. Andrew's in Buffalo. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
Not too bad.
That's good. Yeah, I'm a little down this season, to be honest with you.
The whole season?
Yeah. I think we'll go far, but ultimately we will because history shows it. We've lost last year without Gronk in the playoffs. We lost in the Super Bowl without him. He's a very key part of our offense. Even with him, I felt like that they were sort of, y'all probably won't agree with me, but I think they was just sort of force-feeding him a little bit. I mean, if you look at every replay, it always seems like they got him running the seam route every time. Like, they, you know, if Brady been throwing it in triple coverage in the same route, you know, at that moment in time, he was open. He beat the defender. He beat the linebacker. And the safety come booming out of nowhere. I feel like teams know where Brady want to put that ball because Brady loved that seam route. And it just shows just how fast that safety got there. Obviously, he was watching film. He knew exactly where that ball was going to go. The fact that we don't have anyone else complimenting Gronk hurts us. That's why I think another key element was Hernandez because Brady didn't have to, you know, force Pete Gronk. He had Hernandez underneath. Edelman is playing great, but Amendola, I don't think he's healthy. I mean, it's showing out there. It's very showing out there. The fact that he got one guy, it just seems as though he's always been covered by one cornerback, and he's just inept. I know he had a touchdown, but I feel like, you know, right, I think we're done on this season. We're going to have to do something in the draft. It's very disappointing right now. I don't blame the guy for hitting Gronk. I think that was a great hit.
But, yeah, that was not an illegal hit. I just want to get back to your main point, Andrew, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, he's open. They run that play a lot, and for a 20-yard gain, or he's open and Brady misses him, but I don't call it force-feeding when a guy's open for a 20-yard gain consistently.
Right, I think in the first half on Sunday, they only targeted him like three times.
Yeah,
right?
he and Edelman were combined, five targets, no catches.
Right.
But one of those was a potential big play where Brady misses it.
Right, and that wasn't...
To me, it's not force-feeding when a guy catches the ball 20 yards downfield or 18 yards downfield and is open.
Plus, you want to get your big guy involved just so that the other team...
That's called good offense.
Right.
You know, I am a big believer in letting your weapons make plays. It's been the one criticism
he's
I've sort
guy.
Of said is, go, you know, if you have Shane Vereen and he's hot, go to Shane Vereen. If you have Josh Gordon and he's hot, go to Josh Gordon. You don't have to be 10 yards open to be open in the NFL. If the guy has a step, get him the ball and let him make a play. That's what playmakers do.
All right. Thanks, Andrew. We got a lot of calls, so we want to
food?
Keep it going here. Olivier's in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Great. Good.
I hope the snow is not too bad for you guys.
Ah, that's not sticking.
Nah, we're New Englanders.
Yeah, it not that's sticking? Fine. We've got 4 or 5 inches here now in Virginia. But anyways...
You're used to working with 5 inches, right?
On a bad day, yes.
Whoa. Well done right there.
Wow.
Olivier. Nice.
But I know that you're happy with 5 inches, you know, to each his own.
Even better. I like it, Olivier.
Hey, guys, I was calling to find out if we've given some thoughts of, you know, obviously it's impossible to replace Gronk, but, you know, do we have to sign new guys? I know we've signed Williams. I'm not sure what he can do for us or... Well, we signed him again. Maybe he knows the schemes. But what type of schemes do you think that the McDaniels is gonna be creating to try to take a little bit of the resources that we have, take their best abilities to try to address the void that Gronk's creating? I'm just trying to figure out how we move forward while still not going back to where we were initially at the beginning of the season. I think we were like at 20 points a game, and when Gronk came back, we were
like
over 30.
16 percentage on third down
conversions. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was awful. It was terrible. I think they're just going to have to go back to that low, you know, low yardage, high percentage passes that complements the running game and just work their way downfield, occasionally take their shot. I don't think they've got that guy that's going to split the seam and get 20 yards in one play.
And they also, you're going to run the ball.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to see less tight ends. I mean, you're not going to guarantee to have a tight end a big part of the passing
game all the time. And Andy said earlier, a lot right now depends on the health of Tompkins and Dobson. I mean, if they can't contribute, It's going to be tough.
Or is it also some,
I mean,
because, cool,
you know,
stuff.
Tompkins every once in a while can get open in that deep route or intermediate route and get you 15 to 20 yards. And if you don't have that, I mean.
Well, if you don't have that, I'm not willing to say it's over. I mean, Amendola and Edelman are still productive. You know, everybody wants this to be that great season for Edelman. He's got even more of a chance now to be a breakout guy this year. There's going to be more opportunities. And if Vereen can stay healthy, I mean, we're seeing it. Eight catches, 12 catches. You know, he had a historic game for a running back last week.
Yeah.
You may have to lean on that a little bit. You know, Sproles, you know, there's offenses that are built around running backs that have one other weapon. They just need to make sure they have that other weapon. Somebody making, and you're not going to get Jimmy Graham, but somebody making plays, and maybe that changes every week.
And, you know, to your other point, I don't think there's anyone out there that, you know, DJ Williams.
No.
There's no one that's going to step in and.
But what about the rookies we have?
Well,
you know?
Dobson and Tompkins could, but it's health related. And They haven't been in the big spot yet.
Right.
What about Boyd?
They've each had big plays, but they don't know the lights of the playoffs. They've never been there before. So we don't know how they're going to perform in the playoffs.
Great opportunity for them, though, to step up.
Sure.
No question.
Career-wise, this is unbelievable experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think of Boyd's performance? I think he caught two passes, but you know, he has a lot of speed.
Yeah. Paul thinks he's the next great wide receiver.
I like Boyce. He's still, but he's, I mean, even though I love him, he's got to get more consistent.
Yeah.
Big news, though. Kevin Collins was very excited in the other room. Patriots Ravens has been flexed out. 4:25 kickoff.
Oh!
That's huge.
Oh, my God.
Huge.
Who'd they put in?
I don't know.
Who cares?
All I know is that we're at 4:25.
That is incredible news. That was an 8:30 Sunday night game. It is now a 4:25 game.
Well, the Patriots tweeted.
Oh, okay. As long as the Patriots tweeted. I don't trust Ben Bolton.
That just made my day, other than the fact knowing the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl.
Mike Reese said the team just announced, so I didn't see the Patriots.
That's huge. That adds another year to my life.
I believe that's the 22nd. That's big.
It's the Bears and Eagles. Taking its place.
Really?
Bears and Eagles.
Wow.
That's what Rich Eisen.
Well, that will have playoff implications.
Not sure
I like
that one. Maybe they're figuring the Patriots will already have clinched, but Baltimore still will be in the fight. Bears and Eagles, huh?
Foles and McCown.
Well, that's big news.
Who am I to look a gift horse in the mouth? I'll take it.
All right. Thanks for the call, Olivier. Let's go over the other side of the country to California. Nick.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Nick.
First, can we please keep Joel in Atlanta off the air? I mean, the 5 minutes of idiocracy he brings to the show is worse than the three of you combined for 2 hours. It's
hey,
hearing about that guy.
We're good for 2 hours.
Andy, come on. The mama jokes, really, you're going to say that you don't have a little bit of idiocracy in you? But it's not about you. It's about Joel. But circling back around to the game, the worst part of this game, of course, other than the Gronk injury, is we never looked good. We didn't look consistent at all. At least in the Denver game, that third quarter, that offense was probably some of the best football we played all year. And even in Houston that second half, we started getting things rolling, started looking good. At no point in the Cleveland game did we get things clicking, did we ever look good. When Cleveland had the ball at the end, we knew that they were going to go down and go down the field. We just wasn't sure if they were going to make a field goal, make a touchdown, or what. All right, guys, we'll be there.
Okay. Thanks, Nick.
In and out.
And he swallowed the phone at the end.
I agree with them, though, that they never looked good. My theory on if my aunt
had, it looks good for that three play stretch to Vereen.
but if the Patriots don't recover the onside kick, you're looking at the previous drive as nothing more than garbage time, right?
Yes. There's somebody else on the line.
Which is what it was, and then they end up getting the onside kick. What's the matter?
Jason, just hold on one second.
There's a guy in the background just saying hello.
Go ahead. I didn't realize you had already gone to a
call. Go ahead, Jason.
Hello?
My bad. Hello? I came in to talk about Hightower.
Yes.
His defensive play, the stop that he got and was supposed to be a fumble and the ref somehow.
Right. It was written as a fumble in the book, but the referees had the quick whistle.
What does that even mean?
In my book.
Oh, your book. Okay.
The referee should have let the guy drop, and before the guy dropped, the ball was out of his hand.
Absolutely.
Well, they said his forward progress was stopped. I think it was a bad call.
See, I don't like that call on any level because it's a one-on-one play. I want the receiver to also have the opportunity to break the tackle and make a big play.
Right?
Yeah. These are two big guys going together.
Where was that whistle in 2007 with Eli Manning?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't even know what he's talking about.
I'm talking about. In the grasp. He wanted it.
But
Eli Manning in the grasp.
But he was going forward.
Oh, right. God. He wanted it in the grasp.
Right?
Question would be, yeah.
There's some.
In his book, he was down.
I heard there were some people thinking that would be off or better off going through the three-game adversity playoffs instead of taking the bye. That's just ridiculous.
Wait, what?
That we shouldn't have the bye. We should go play every week.
Yeah, because we've been coming from comebacks, and they'll just make us tougher. I'm like, no.
Yeah, that's stupid.
I don't think they can get any more tough. And if a team could use a week of rest, it's this one.
Yeah, and also considering last time we didn't have Gronk, we had Chamberlain, but Chamberlain was out. Our rookie wide receivers had no experience. Julian Edelman was just stepping into the position of just becoming a better wide receiver option, and Danny Amendola got injured and out. considering now Danny Amendola is playing slightly better, Julian Edelman is near Wes Welker status, not at it, and our rookie wide receivers have come a little onto themselves, I think we have a better chance. I'm not saying it's a great chance, just that we did without having Gronk.
I think you make a lot of points. I think, you know, these guys who have gained experience, including Edelman, he's a better player right now as a receiver than he was at the beginning of the season.
But is he a centerpiece player?
No.
I mean, how often have we talked about every time they lose in the postseason, we talk about the lack of playmakers. Well, they're going to need playmakers. They're going to need people to step up and make plays. And I think Vereen can be that. Now I'm searching for the next guy. Amendola, I don't know that he's any better than he's been. I think he's hurt. I think he's going to be hurt all year until he has surgery and does whatever or gets whatever fixed. So who are the playmakers? I don't think Edelman is at the Welker level, but I don't think Welker was a postseason playmaker that you could count on to win a game. So is it Tompkins? Is it Dobson? Is it Boyce? Is it, I don't know. Is it Ridley? Is this the opening for Ridley to come back and be like a 175-yard rusher?
I think they need him.
I think they do, too.
Yeah.
And I think this may be his opening.
Yeah.
As we, what did Brady say, the formula? We need a new formula?
Right.
I think the formula might be, we were mad at you, Steven, but we need you now, so get back out there.
Victor's in Washington. Hey, Victor.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to say that, you know, I'm still pretty confident in the team. I mean, if this Gronk injury had happened earlier in the year, like right after he came back, he got injured, I'd be more bummed out about it. But this late in the year, I think the number two seed's almost locked by this time. I believe they're going to win out. And then the postseason, I mean, you just take your chances.
Yeah, but wouldn't your chances be better with Gronk? That's why I don't really understand the timing of the Gronk injury. We need Gronk to win the Super Bowl was the rallying cry.
They would, you know, it definitely helped, but I'm just confident that they're gonna do the best that they can do with what they got, and that's what the Patriots do.
Well, you know what Eric Cartman says.
Yep.
Sometimes your best isn't good enough.
Thanks, Victor.
But last week when we were talking, I said that I think it's a virtual certainty that they're going to win out, and I sort of got scoffed at that. You know, they got at Miami, at Baltimore, the tough games. I think they'll lose at least one, and our buddy No Sox had them going 2-2. So now they lose Gronkowski, and it's like, well, the bye is locked up. Like, I don't – if you thought they were going to lose the games with Gronkowski, why do we – you know, I'm not saying that he's the emailer, the caller, Victor, thought they were going to lose with Gronk, but I just don't know why it's a virtual certainty now without Gronkowski. I didn't think there was any chance that they would lose to Miami, and I didn't think there was any chance that they would lose. You know,
really?
No.
The way this league goes
now, I'm a little concerned. It was
even with Gronk, they were having trouble with teams.
Admittedly, it was says more about what I think of Miami than I did of what I think of the Patriots. I just figured Miami would do something stupid to lose the game.
Well, that could be
kind of like they almost did on Sunday.
They've been competitive throughout a lot of turmoil.
Yeah, I didn't expect the Patriots to just blow everybody out. I mean, I expected them to blow Cleveland out, and I was wrong about that. I expected them to blow Houston out. I was wrong about that, too.
So why should we listen to you? You're wrong a lot.
But I thought they were going to win out, and now everybody sort of made fun of me, and then Gronkowski gets out, and now everybody thinks they're going to win out. I don't understand.
I don't think they're going to win out.
You don't think
really?
They're going to win out?
Really? No. I said 12-4. They're 10-3.
Well, I said 12-4 too, but that's not why I don't think they're going to win out.
There's a good chance that they lose if to Gronkowski either Baltimore was playing, or I think Miami. I was
better chance they win out or lose out?
Better chance to win out.
I actually think the opposite.
Well, I think the best chance is that they go 2-1.
Yeah.
I think there's no chance of them losing to Buffalo. Zero. 0.0.
They lose to Buffalo.
Losing to Buffalo at home in the last game of the season.
I agree.
So, therefore, I have to side with Fred and say there's better chance of them winning out than losing out.
I think they could lose out.
If they do, by the way, as the UK boys brought up earlier, all of a sudden you're not even a lock to win the division.
No, I know. I don't think they're going to lose out. But I think there's a chance.
Can you imagine if they lose these two games and Miami wins the next one? Obviously, Miami would have won the first one. If they win the next one, and then it comes down to the last game of the season?
That's what the NFL wants.
I don't think any of us had that one.
No.
And they flexed the Buffalo Patriots game. Into
John from Maine, I know you spoke about the play calling, but I find it frustrating when it's third and long, like third and 10, and a quick screen pass is called. I feel like it's a low-risk play with not much gain. Do you guys have any stats, or can you speak about the play calling in these situations? Maybe I'm missing something.
I don't think they call a lot of those. Third and 10 screens. And I also think the Patriots are a very good screen team. I think they've had very good success with those.
Yeah.
I know that there was one, it was third and long this week that they ran a screen. I think they, I want to say it was like a third and 22. They ran a screen to Vereen for about 15 or so. It was long. Yeah, it was
19 maybe,
yeah,
or
and he got like 12 or 15.
He was close. It was like 4 yards short.
Yeah,
yards
I mean, he didn't come close to getting the first down, but it was a good play because you know that's field position play right there. You don't always call plays depending on field position, time of game, and all that stuff. Thinking, oh, I'm going to get a first down on this play. You're looking for field position in different things on different situations.
I ran out of gas. Where's the food?
Wow, what's the matter with you?
Running out of gas. I need a little boost here. I need a chicken parm boost.
Jeff Wintz says, you guys made me sick for the past few weeks. I've noticed a perpetual cold running through the PFW studios.
That's funny.
10-3. Now, normally I would only wish ill on my enemies, such as the New York Jets, but in this case, I'm wishing ill on the men of PFW. Whether you're blowing your nose or drying your eyes, keep those Kleenexes handy. The season ain't over. That's Jeff from Hancock.
Okay. A name like Hancock, he needs a Kleenex handy.
Adam from Brisbane, Australia, brought it up on Twitter on Sunday to Andy and Paul, but I thought it was pretty annoying to see Leon Washington have a 95-yard return for the Titans after 10 weeks of nothing as a Patriot. I mainly want to point out what a remarkable job Belichick has done this year. 90% of the teams around the league would finish 5-11 with the amount of injuries and setbacks the Patriots have had, and I feel like Patriots fans take that for granted. Anyway, our chances to win a Super Bowl are very likely low, but I could still see us making it to the Super Bowl if luck somehow turned out our way. Regardless, I've always thought the Super Bowl winner is likely to be from the NFC this year.
I think most of the world agrees with that. What are the chances the Patriots go to Super Bowl, Fred? Give me a percentage.
Percentage of the Patriots win it or go?
Go to.
30%.
Paul?
You said 30%?
Yeah.
That's reasonable.
I'm probably in that ballpark,
so,
too.
So just to recap the last hour and 20 minutes, Fred yelled at me for thinking exactly the same way he does.
Alex,
the opposite of that is you believe there's a 70% chance they are not going to the Super Bowl.
Well, there's a lot of other teams.
He's not willing to say that.
He's not willing to say that.
That's split up.
I didn't say that.
That's split up among.
I don't put words in my mouth now.
That's split up among six other teams. I don't care about the six other teams.
I'm saying there's a 70% chance the Patriots do not go to the Super Bowl.
Right. But
if you go by team by team, maybe 30%. I would have had you
closer to 50%, 60%. Before the injury, was Fred might be the same. I don't know.
Yeah, I probably would have been like 49%.
Because I now think that all the teams that they potentially play in the playoffs can beat them. I didn't think that before Gronk got hurt.
Now Alex, we're just hanging our hat on Peyton Manning chokes in the postseason.
Alex,
well, that's
Philly,
what I was hanging my hat on from my original thought. But now the other teams, are they all going to choke?
They could. They all have reason to choke.
Alex and Philly, so the season ends not with a whimper, but with a bang to the right knee of our best weapon. I've been arguing with fans on Facebook who just whistle past the graveyard and say that Bill will find a way. We've seen what this offense looks like without Gronk. It's night and day, Jekyll and Hyde. So with the offensive production set to decrease to go along with the defense that allowed Jason Campbell to make his Pro Bowl bid, where do we go? I know Fred, 10-3, but do we really expect Brady to take a band of misfit toys to the Super Bowl? I guess miracles can happen. All we need is Brady and Belichick, right? Well, that's all we got. On a long-term note, I fear that Gronk will never be the Gronk we need him to be to win a Super Bowl. I don't blame Gronk for his injuries, just like I don't blame Amendola for his. But like Amendola, he is injury-prone.
Yep.
There are just some guys who get hurt more often than others, and it halts their greatness. Gronk is one of them, and the facts are we are about to head to yet another postseason without him. How long can this last?
I agree he's never going to be what he could have, should have, might have been. I don't agree he'll never be good enough to help you win a Super Bowl. I think there's a chance he could come back and be the centerpiece of the offense next year.
And I might be putting words in his mouth, but I think he meant that he won't be himself when we need him to be in the playoffs. Like, I think I agree with you. I mean, I don't think that he was as dynamic as he's been in the past this year.
No. And that's the problem. You're losing X percent every time.
He was
time.
Still utterly dominant.
Right.
But I think the emailer's point is, what are the chances he's going to be active once you get to the playoffs after getting beaten up and all
he'll
that
be
stuff?
Fine.
Well, okay, if you want to just take the Fred approach.
Well, I'm not just going to assume he's not going to be active. He's going to be back next year. He's not going to be as good early on because every guy except Adrian Peterson who comes back from an ACL is not as good early on. And it takes a while.
Right.
But that doesn't mean he can't play in January.
Right. And the other thing I do, you know, I heard somebody say, oh, well, Welker hurt his knee on January 3rd and was practicing by June 2nd. Welker was not as good when he first came back. Even with
close.
That miraculous, you know, and... You know, so let's not use that as a barometer either.
But different positions and styles.
Yeah.
The lateral quickness is an issue with coming back from an ACL and wearing a brace.
Yeah.
Gronk won't have to deal with that.
True.
Now, Gronk, you could argue, though, is one of those guys, if he loses a step, that might be an important step because he didn't have that much of a
right.
speed advantage in his matchups.
You know,
so if you're a negative guy, you look at one.
He could end up like
other.
Being like Ben Coates where – he starts getting called for offensive pass interference.
Well, that
a
hasn't
lot.
Happened so far, so I wouldn't
no,
expect that to.
But if he loses a step, it could.
Yeah, well, then he's just not open. But I don't expect him to get called for. I think they let that. I think the NFL is pretty consistent with that. I think they let the offensive guys get away with stuff that the defensive guys don't.
Calzone, when mouthed behind glass, looks a lot like a hole. Because Kevin, it was just pointing a hole.
You would know.
Let's go to Paul in the UK. A lot of people demanding to see something done about low hits after Gronk and TJ Ward.
Thanks.
Wondering what you guys would say about whether the league should institute that defenders have to tackle with arms as in rugby. This might see a reduction in big hits, though you still see plenty in the aforementioned. I would also posit that it might also serve to improve the game, as every Sunday I see too many players trying to lay the wood and ending up missing or delivering a poor tackle.
I like hits.
On another note, I will be joining my local American football team. I don't have a clue what position I'll be playing, but with that in mind, is there any broad advice you would give me other than avoid low-flying safeties?
Have fun. Well, it's kind of a really open-ended question.
Yeah.
I mean, how big
know.
Are you?
Right.
How fast are you?
Right.
What
position are you going
out
for?
Do you like to hit? Do you consider yourself a strong, tough guy, more of a soft athlete? I mean, we need a little more information there. I'd say play linebacker. I think linebacker is the best position
in terms of the tackling,
the
I've long been a proponent of, you know, these guys should have their arms out in front trying to wrap up.
They should, but you can't say, oh, you didn't have your arms out. Here's a 15-yard penalty. That's ridiculous.
And I also am not saying that the hit by Ward was illegal. It was not.
No, but should it be?
No.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
But some people, I mean, that was where we started with that email is, you know, there's a movement, you know, it dominated the post game. A lot of questions in the postgame. Our buddy Tom Curran was all over it. You know,
well, it's a knee-jerk reaction.
Does the NFL need to get this hit out of the league? And I
would
just say there's nothing.
I don't think you
there's
can.
There's nothing even remotely bad
I don't
about
think
that
you can.
Hit.
I don't think.
The result was terrible, but there was nothing wrong with that hit.
And the hit happens a lot of times and nothing happens. It's not like every time you put a – I mean, it's a little different. I think the percentage of if you hit a guy helmet to helmet, there's a higher percentage – that you're going to do some damage head-wise, concussion-wise, whatever, dinged-wise, however you want to term it. If you hit a guy in the legs, I don't think it's quite as high a chance he's going to blow out his ACL
every
time.
For example, if it was a split second later and Gronk was lifting that leg instead of planting it,
then
he
just gets tackled.
Right.
Literally like
no
a tenth of a second, hundredth of a second, something ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah, and
right.
it's unfortunate.
Right.
And that's the problem, Fred. You just nailed it because it's so often that we just look at the result. You know, and would anybody have gone into the locker room postgame? And I'm not picking on Tom because he's certainly not alone. A lot of people have been on this, you know, it was a dirty hit brigade. If he didn't get hurt on that play, same exact play, let's just say what happened, what you said, Fred, and his leg was up and he just got tackled. Would anybody have gone in the locker room and said, does that TJ Ward tackle need to be legislated out
right.
of the league?
Nobody would.
No.
All right, food's here, so we're going to take a quick break, and it's made possible by our friends from the UK Patriots Woo-hoo! Fan Club, so thanks, guys. We'll take this break, and we'll be right back.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights, track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone,
so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons, so I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that do not disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month, guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1-18-14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Heard of Growing Up Gronk, but now comes the tell-all book of the Perillo family.
We were gonna go drink. I might not have any use the rest of the day.
From the storied authors of Northeastern Football, An Extinct Dynasty, and The Best Places to Drink Diet Pepsi in Everett, comes Growing Up Perillo.
All I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him, pounding the shit out of him.
Okay, and he just swore.
Be there through Northeastern Husky glory.
It was a very big night in Northeastern sports. I won't go into the details because I won't bore you. 1982, my father was at the Garden for the hockey championships that Northeastern won, and I'm home watching them play in the first round of the NCAA basketball, which they won. And my brother got out.
Paul, you cover the basketball. We'll take the hockey.
No, my brother went out and got arrested that night. So my mother had to do all of the stuff. She had to go down and get him, and they had to get the car from a tow lot. My mother was unbelievably incensed. So I know I got about 30 seconds to celebrate with my father when he comes home before all hell's going to break loose. So I come running out of my
little
room.
Little angel. Right.
And I'm jumping up and down, high-fiving right. my father. And I go, all right, got to go. Right. And I ran back in the room.
Rich.
And all you heard was, it was like Joe Pesci, and just once I wanted to be big. Pow, bing, boom.
You've disgraced the Perillo family, not to mention the whole Husky community.
Treasured father-son time.
My brother was going back and forth with my father, and it was one of those, you know, open your mouth one more time, and I'm going to let you have it. My brother was actually in the shower, and he didn't think my father could see him, and he just opened his mouth. My father laid him out through the shower curtain. One shot, right in the jaw, went down. As my brother tells the story, I'm lying nude in the jaw. Classic.
And other fond memories of the Perillo boys.
You know, my grandmother used to live with us when we, you know, when right. she was still alive. She used to, all of a sudden, she'd have these attacks of conscience. She'd be like the old Italian grandmother, you know, I had to be all worried. And my brother was in trouble for something. My father was all over him, and he hit him. And she got all nervous, and she calls up Aunt Camilla. You know Aunt Camilla right, from sure. Famous Stories. They're sisters. So she calls up, she goes, oh, Allie's beating the living out of him, but I'll tell you, he deserved it, though.
Growing Up Perillo, flying off bookshelves everywhere. Order yours now by calling 855-PATS-500 or placing your order via email to webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to PFW in progress.
All right, back here at PFW in progress. Quick show. It's already 1:34.
Why is Kevin suddenly doing work?
He's kind of showing off. It's good, though.
I can give you a sequel to that one,
reviews
too.
Coming or something? Did somebody lay down, either do some work or you're out? What's going on here?
Encourage him. You know, we want more of that. That's good stuff.
Yeah, but it's so out of the norm that there's got to be a reason.
There's more time lately.
Something weird going on.
More time to do work.
All right.
I got to say, once again, thanks to the UK Patriots guys. I haven't had one of these chicken parm calzones in a while.
I guess not.
In a while.
And he just threw up.
And these are phenomenal. And I have to say thank you very much. Tremendous.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, guys. Webradio@patriots.com, 508-298-0398.
I shut the mic off for that one.
Again, why do you think that people can't hear it, though?
855-PATS-500.
I thought that's why you shut the mic off, so they don't hear it.
Rachel writes in, who expected the Ravens to knock off the Broncos at home last year in the playoffs? Let's say the Ravens, Dolphins, or Indy
Eric.
Get up a game and knock them off to go home afterwards. All Pats need is to stay in it, and every team gets lucky at some point. A good upset is all we need, and for the Pats to win the games they play however they can. Gronk's loss is bad. He's not coming back. Get over it. remember that Super Bowl Gronk played in the one that he played, we lost. So don't tell me we need him to win a Super Bowl.
You do. You haven't won a Super Bowl. Had he been healthy, you would have won that Super Bowl.
They would have won if he was healthy. If the whole team does its job, we've got a shot, especially with the way these calls are going. I'm not. Paul will agree with that. I'm not confident because of all the things we can do. I'm hopeful because of all the stuff we can't do and all the injuries, but yet we keep winning. All right. I don't know what that meant, but I get it. Let's see. Robin in Alaska says, you know it's a tough year when fans start saying they want to see more of Devlin. With that said, any given Sunday, 10-3, and in control of their own destiny, this season is far from over, all due respect to Gronk. There you go. Paul was right. People have hope.
Fred, are you going to pull out, what do you have, like four touchdowns?
No.
You won't?
No.
In the playoffs, when they're preparing for a playoff game, you're not going to say something like that?
No.
I'll guarantee you do. Like you did with Welker.
We know you better than you.
Yeah. All right. Jeff in Pennsylvania, I know everyone's freaking out about Gronk, but I'm not. This is going to put New England where they need to be, in the underdog spot. That's when Brady is at his best. We'll be underdogs against Seattle in the Super Bowl. It'll be great. I love it. I think this is going to force the teams to go back to what made them competitive in the first half of the season. I'm excited.
A good deep.
Maybe it will also force them to stop dragging the feet at the beginning of game and taking things for granted. This is a great team in season. I love it. I can't wait for the playoffs. There you go.
I agree with all that, except for the winning somewhere.
Let's see. Nick in California already called, so I'm not going to read him. Okay. Steve in New Hampshire, originally from Stoneham, now down in Arkansas, came down to get
good Lord.
My five grandkids, been here a year. I haven't talked to you guys for a couple
Wait,
of years.
Wait, is that a joke or a real lie?
Came down to get to know my five grandkids, and I've been here a year. Haven't talked to you guys for a couple of years, yet I've never missed a show. Still the best. Anyway, I can't understand why fans are giving up on chances of getting through the playoffs. Look, we keep winning with all these guys who we brought in and are stepping up when needed, doing their job. All these young guys have to believe in what they are capable of with Tom. They beat the odds over and over this year. They're living it and playing it. I still believe when we finally actually show up at the coin toss and play Patriots ball out of the gate, we can beat anybody. My preseason prediction was and still is Patriots versus Seahawks down in the Meadowlands. Never give up. Do your job. I am a fan. And you guys are still the view of football.
Fred, where are all these emails you said about people giving up?
I guess it's more on the internet. I mean, the social media.
Because you'll admit there haven't been really.
Not, no.
Okay, good.
No.
So you just keep pushing it away to places we can't actually check.
Yeah, it's just you two
So
guys.
It's in the back of your head.
Yeah, it's just the two of you. Alex, this season has been a roller coaster ride. The hardest part of the season hasn't been the injuries or the hard and cheap losses. It has been watching this team fight and claw so hard to win and stay strong in the playoff hunt, only to see the eventual writing on the wall. A one and done in the playoffs. All those amazing wins and finishes against the Saints, Broncos, and the Browns. Against all odds, this team gets the job done. But it seems that all that grinding and toiling is done for nothing. This injury to Gronk was the straw that broke the camel's back.
You found one.
Yep.
From Andy H. in Foxborough.
Take one more email and we'll go up to the phone. Phil in Nova Scotia, I'm not panicked about the success of the Patriots season moving forward without Gronk. My panic started and ended in the offseason with all its drama. I knew going into the season that every game was going to be a dogfight. And the meager expectations I did have, the Patriots have surpassed. This has been one of the most enjoyable years to watch them with all the great endings and unpredictable twists and turns. I fully believe that they can still win the Super Bowl because of the team's mental toughness, the Brady-Belichick combo, and all the other contenders not being invulnerable. Either way, this has been a fantastically entertaining year. I think that's another way to look at it. No matter what happens from here on out, it's been a great year. Don't you think?
It's been an entertaining year.
Yeah. With all the stuff that went on in the offseason and the injuries that happened during the season, I think it's
been a very entertaining season.
Let's go to Brandon in California on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Brandon. Brandon.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, a few things that I'd like to comment on. First off, your last email, I agree with it wholeheartedly. And then secondly, on your Welker and Gronk recovery, I think it's apples and oranges, where you got Welker that's, what, 5'8", 170, and you got Gronk at 6'6", 270. It's the recovery time, obviously different because of the strain on it.
Because of what?
Because of the size of Gronk, his recovery time is longer than a guy like Welker.
That makes no sense.
Absolutely.
Why?
Why are you coming to that conclusion, Brandon? There's still ligaments in a knee.
Yes, but it's proven clear back to the counterparty that the smaller you are, the more apt you are to survive. It takes longer to heal. It's just back to science.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not sure that's science. It might be your science.
If I sprain my wrist and you sprain your wrist, I'm probably bigger than you. What's the difference?
There's more stress on your body than mine.
Well, that's true.
It took Adrian Peterson less time.
Yeah, I don't really get it. So why did Adrian Peterson recover faster than Welker?
Well, that's, again, here I would...
Are you a doctor?
Science.
All right, you got a bad connection.
You got
too.
A bad phone, yeah. And bad science.
Yeah. I mean, once you start playing...
Where is he pulling that crap out of?
I don't know. I don't know.
That's BS.
He's not the only one. Chris Ferreira also contends that.
And that... Idiots of a feather.
Well, see, now, you know. Brad...
Sorry, I didn't mean that to you, Chris Ferreira.
Brad is on the Eastern Shore. Brad, how you doing?
Hey, Fred. By the way, When it's on Sunday, I'm Brad-WV, because I actually live in West Virginia. It's a weird thing. I live in West Virginia, work in Pennsylvania, and came from the Eastern Shore. So,
okay, good. Now that we have that
complex life you lead. Those taxes must be a bitch, too.
Yeah, it is. It's a royal pain to have two states worth of taxes each year. So,
yeah.
But anyway, I am not gloom and doom. It was a horrific injury. It was devastating to sit there and watch it, and of course they gleefully showed the replays about 37,000 times on the TV, but you know, I'm kind of like Paul. I want to see the next guy step up, and I think the next guy that needs to step up is none other than Paul's guy, Josh Boyd.
And is he ready? Are you confident in that?
I think we can use him in a variety of ways that Brady hasn't had in a long time.
I agree, but why haven't we done it all year?
Because we buried him on the bench.
I know, but I'd feel better about this now had we even seen, you know, a couple flashes of end-arounds and the stuff I thought we were going to see from him at some point early in the year, we never saw. He was inactive for so long, and I feel better.
I don't disagree, but I think that the guy is one of these little instant offense type guys, and you throw him a quick screen, you toss him an end-around, you get him in some space and let him just fly, and it seems like the couple times Brady's gone deep to him, he's beaten his man.
He certainly has speed.
What?
He certainly has speed, and I do remember talking to, where's he from? TCU?
TCU.
The guy there.
Gary Patterson.
Gary Patterson raved about, he did have a little bit of a knack for big plays, latent moment type plays, and maybe we'll tap into that coming down the stretch here into the playoffs.
And he's fresh.
I think we've got a league, and I said it last week when I called, it's great. I'm on a snow day. Because, Fred, I told you it snowed like 6 inches on Sunday. We got more this morning.
Yep.
You
guys talk a lot.
we are looking at a league that just stinks. There's just no way around it. Every week,
welcome everybody,
you're looking at three or four teams. You're like, that's a win, and they lose.
Well, so I don't think that – I know it's the conventional feeling that the NFL stinks. I think that makes it great.
It's now the conventional feeling. Now everybody's come to my side of the street.
Right.
I've been on that side of the
you
street.
You started
for a while
it.
Now.
You know,
I think it's been terrible football, but I don't think it's been resigned to this year. I think
it's a great product, and I think people love it, and there's a reason why. I think it's awesome entertainment.
I think we need to look at the point though, and I know Paul's going to be all over this one. Is that the games have stunk in direct proportion to how bad the refereeing has.
I do think it's actually been the worst year for refereeing.
This has been a huge weekend, too. Talking about Ben Jarvis Green Ellis was down on a fourth down play. They called him down, went to replay, and overturned incorrectly, evidently. I didn't see it.
Is that the triplet one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they gave him a touchdown. They had the play, two plays in the Eagles game that absolutely destroyed the Lions. One, they called Ndamukong Suh for holding on a two-point conversion as he's the quarterback is rolling. Foles is rolling up to his left, and Suh is sort of chasing him, and his arm is back like this, and somehow they deemed that Suh, while chasing the quarterback to the left, was reaching back to, well, chasing to his right, you know, defensive right. He's reaching back to his left to hold a guy. The throw goes out of bounds. They call defensive holding on a defensive lineman in pursuit of the quarterback. Wasn't even a running play where you could say the defensive lineman right. held an offense. It was one of the most ridiculous calls. And that one I did see.
Do you think
they gave him a do-over, and of course they ran it in, which was a big call.
Do you think in Bill Belichick's scenario where any play could be reviewed, that would be one that would be overturned?
I think that would have been overturned, but yeah. I still, you know, I don't want penalties to be reviewed. I just want the guys calling the penalties to have their eyes open.
Let's see. Jonathan writes in from Montreal. At the start of the year, Andy and Paul had a lunch bet about the Patriots' record. Paul said they'd get 12 wins or better. Andy was going with the under.
I thought we had a bet on
that. No matter how the season plays out, I think Andy should buy Paul lunch. The fact that this team has so many serious injuries and they still find ways to win games is truly remarkable.
You know, it's funny. I was actually thinking I'm going to get a cheap win. Because Andy was right, but somehow they're still going to have 12 wins.
On both sides of the ball, the team is hurting. Most teams would have packed it in and started to prepare for next season. This season is a testament to the quality of people in the Patriots organization. I think our chances of winning the Super Bowl before losing Gronk was 20%, but it's probably more like 5% now.
Wow, he's worse than you, Fred.
As long as we're in the playoffs, anything could happen. The key to our success this year falls on the shoulders of Shane Vereen. Vereen has become a playmaker and what most of us hoped he'd develop into. And P.S., my 3- and 5-year-old boys are in love with Josh Boyce and gave my wife crap for not knowing who he is.
Wow. I agree with the last part of that, you know, the testament to this organization, because I think they've won games strictly on will over the last month or so. I disagree a little bit with the notion that what other teams would have done. I see teams completely, and you say this all the time, Fred, who's in good shape right now? You were saying that earlier in the show, and I agree with you. There are plenty of teams that are banged up and beaten to a pulp, and they're still fighting to try to win. Now, some of them aren't winning as much as the Patriots have, but they haven't packed it in. Look at the Chicago Bears last night. And that's a team, you know, playing without their quarterback for, what, 6 games now? And they're still tied for first place in their division. Now, they're not 10-3. They're 7-6. You know, Green Bay found a way to win and tie a game without Aaron Rodgers. They're still in it. No, I don't see this evidence of teams quitting. What are you doing over there?
He's once again soiling his
what
pants.
Are you doing?
Andy.
Are you guys going to have some cookies?
There's a lot of cookies over here.
They're moist, warm.
By the way, Paul hasn't been able to finish a thought today.
That's okay.
Why? Yeah.
Well, you guys
because you just,
again.
Like, pooped yourself in the middle of the show.
No.
Yeah.
Stephen is calling.
You might need to scrape underneath. They're very soft. Yeah. Too soft.
I'll take half.
But eat the whole damn thing. Just eat it like a pie.
You're
going to
save the other
stick
half?
Stick your face in there.
You're saving the other half of your wife.
Stephen in Hampshire. I'm off to work at the moment, recovering from an Andy-esque abdominal issue, so I've time
having
to kill.
Some of them right now.
And as always, the show is a godsend. Also, it's a welcome distraction from the kitchen ceiling that collapsed after a flood on Saturday.
Oh, jeez.
Hell, we were cold and damp, but the Pats warmed things up Sunday night. Well, for a few minutes anyway. Fred, what gives with you posting my "Don't trash your laptop, you'll lose all your porno" response on Sunday? I didn't expect to see it, to be honest, but certainly not randomly, completely out of context over an hour later. The problem with the console that I use the last couple games, all of a sudden, I'll start getting these comments from like an hour before that will flood it, and I mistakenly hit that one, and it got posted.
Well, what was the context relating to
porn?
Well,
I said if I'm about to throw my laptop across the press box. And his response was, don't do that. You'll lose all your porno.
And you do have a lot. You got Brandon Spikes. You got Brett Favre.
Right.
You want to keep all that junk.
As for the injury to Gronkowski, I expect derision here, but I have a feeling that losing Rob may well be a galvanizing event for this team.
Is that how you say that word, derision?
Sure. Or derision?
I thought it was derision.
I thought it was derision. Yeah. Where's Eric when we need him?
In King's English, it's derision. I wonder if by taking away
you the king?
I wonder if by taking away Tom's binky, you're actually forcing him to check down more quickly instead of focusing on the tight end from the get-go. Tom now has to go through his reads naturally without having the subconscious distraction of where's Gronk every time the ball is thrown.
Yeah, that worked well early in the year.
It's just a gut feeling.
It also worked badly when they went from terrible to awesome in the games that Gronk played.
It's just a gut feeling, but it seems after Gronk left the field, Tom actually started to look a little more like the Tom of old, playing instinctively to what he had as open as opposed to waiting that extra second for his tight end to get free. Obviously, the situation demanded a more desperate approach, but didn't Tom look like a different player toward the end there? Well, best to Gronk. I pity the poor bugger. After all, the crap he's gone through already. Hope he gets it all sorted with minimal intervention. Right now, I want him to get healthy for his sake. We can worry about his playing status later. So, there you go, Steve in Hampshire.
Yeah, the Gronk thing. I mean, I don't want to eliminate chances, but some of the arguments that I've heard really don't make a lot of sense. I mean, did Tom not look better in the second half of the Houston game? Did he look better in the second half of the Denver game?
You're not going to convince me that we're better off without Gronk.
Right.
Come on.
You know, and if we're going to ask the question, if Brady was too reliant on Gronk, is it worth asking the question, is Vereen a product of Gronk?
Right.
You know, now a team has a chance to go in and prepare without Gronkowski. He left the game in the middle of the third quarter. Obviously, Cleveland did something well in the first 2.5 quarters because Gronk had 2 catches out of 5 targets, including the play he got hurt on. So the big part of their game plan was obviously to contain him. And now you're asking them to change on the fly. And, oh, by the way, I think they did it really effectively until the very end of the game when Vereen, you know, with the exception of the one long pass that Vereen caught, I think the Browns would take the vast majority of the 12 catches that Vereen had in that situation. You just got to recover an onside kick. And they didn't.
Let's see. Robert writes in, Fred, I know you don't like the negativity from us fans, but did you hear the radio show yesterday from Gillette? Those guys were throwing out stats and had us done and finished. Damn depressing. And Paul, boost me up, baby. I'm with you. I hate Miami. And here we go without Gronk in their house this Sunday. Ouch.
I'm
not looking forward to this game. Hate those cocky Miami fans.
I'm with you. I had an opportunity. I'll let it out there. I had an opportunity to change my pick in that game after the game the other night during the editing process. I did not. I'm sticking with the Patriots. I believe the Patriots will win on Sunday.
How come you didn't give me that opportunity?
I guess I didn't think of it. Did you pick the Patriots?
I don't know.
I just assumed, knowing you, that you just picked Miami anyway.
What is that supposed to mean?
You tend to be negative.
No, I don't. I tended in the last 2 weeks to pick blowouts for the Patriots and lost.
I did too. So we shouldn't listen to anything you have to say.
I agree.
But no, I did. I had a chance to change my pick in that game, and I didn't because I don't believe Miami will beat the Patriots.
Chad,
not saying it couldn't happen, but I don't think it will.
Chad says we are not fine, but this is a tough group that will fight for every inch. Are they tough enough to overcome their injuries? So far, yes, but the playoffs are another level. It's not about whether we can beat this team or that team, but instead, can we consistently win 4 games in a row? Also, Kevin mentioned something interesting during the post-game show. He's claiming that 3 additional losses would be better than losing our top tight end. I disagree. We need the bye week more than we need Gronk. Also, Kevin should have a seat at the lunch table with a mic in hand instead of Eric. His discussions are more entertaining than Eric, and he never speaks anyway. Wow.
I was ready to shoot down the idea of Kevin
Who's
having
gonna go
a
get
seat,
us our lunch, though, if Kevin's out here.
Kevin's more entertaining than Eric.
Yeah. I certainly would have rather have lost the game Sunday than and have Gronk healthy, but 3 games?
Here's what I'm saying. My point was I would rather go in as the 5 or 6 seed and play on wild card weekend with Gronk.
I would too.
Yeah, I would too.
That
was
stupid.
But if
not
you
stupid.
Yeah. No,
that,
if that's that, if that's that, what your point is, I agree.
That's
with
what
it.
I was trying to say. And in trying to get to that point, I thought
I'd rather
have
to win 3 road games with Gronk than
exactly
have to do what
and
they,
so,
they have
so
to
what
do.
I was trying to articulate was in order to be the 5 or 6 seed, they might have to lose 3 more games. That's what I was
saying.
Yeah,
but if they lose 3 more, they might be out of the playoffs.
Okay,
period.
But that was the point that I was trying to make.
Let's see. Juve writes in, going down to the Miami game. I'm not giving up on our team. We are going to be loud down there. There's always hope. Sure, without Gronk, it's going to be tougher, but I have hope, damn it. All these doom and gloom fans, stop watching. Go cheer for your fantasy football player.
I can't. He broke his knee.
One after another. They just keep coming in with no hope. Well, it's amazing.
Because of my pep talk.
Right.
That one sounded a little bit like that guy was actually trying to convince himself of what he was typing in the email.
Well, I mean, let's face it. That's what everybody's trying to do.
Kevin says, this has bothered me since the hit on Miami's tight end in preseason. The argument from defensive backs that they will get fined for hitting high, so they are now going low for the knees, is crap. There was no rule preventing them from hitting in the knees last year, and they can still hit high. They just can't lead with the helmet. After the injury to the Miami tight end in preseason and the subsequent comments from the defensive back that made the hit, the NFL should have made an immediate correction. Let's see it happen to the Broncos receivers and see what kind of reaction occurs. It took till Tuesday to see an article about rule change for defensive backs this year, but they missed the point that there was never a rule against low hits. I can't wait to listen to today's PFW and Playbook to see what discussions occurred on these hits.
You got anything?
I don't get the email.
Well, I'll say this. We'll see what happens when a Bronco receiver gets hit. Welker got concussed on Sunday, no flag, and there was no call on the play. It was a cheap hit. He got no call. The second part of that is you can't hit high, whether you hit with your helmet or not. If you hit a receiver above the shoulders,
right,
you're going to get called, whether it's with your shoulder or whatever. It doesn't have to be a helmet hit. That's another big misnomer.
I would also argue it's not just above the shoulders. I thought it was chest to chest for Edelman.
The Edelman play was ridiculous.
So,
you know, he hit him right in the chest and with his shoulder. It wasn't even a helmet to chest.
You are certainly more likely to be flagged and fined for anything that happens
high
up here above your pectorals than you are anything much lower.
And that's why I totally agree with the mindset of defensive players for saying, I'm going to go low to avoid the fine. It's not, I'm going to blow out his knee.
Right.
Brandon Merriweather is the only idiot who said that.
Yeah, right. But they imply that you're going to get more blown out knees because of this rule. That's what the implication is.
That might be what the implication is. I don't know what they're meaning when
that's
they say what they say.
They're warning us.
But that's
you're
true.
You're going to see more blown out knees.
But
because
that's, but that's true. And no, I think the NFL
not.
Would rather see blown
They've
out
only
knees.
Had two ACLs
no, but what I'm,
because
what
of
I'm saying
year.
Is, you, if you're hitting knees more often, you're going to get knee injuries more
right.
often. I would rather have a guy blow out his ACL than be a vegetable. And
right.
that's what the NFL
and
is saying.
That's what the NFL's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that mindset. I don't think the NFL
yeah.
is wrong for
I
saying
do
it.
Think it's stupid
and I don't think defensive players are wrong
say,
for
well,
thinking
I
it.
I have to go at knees now. No, you don't.
You have to go
there's
low, Fred.
There's a lot of other hitting area besides the knees that's legal. You know? So I
think the whole thing is ridiculous that you have to have these guys know exactly what they're hitting.
Well, Paul, what's the alternative?
No, I'm
Call
talking
the
about
rule better.
No,
they need to get better at calling.
What I'm saying
things,
is, if you're going to start getting picky as to he hit him on the knee instead of the thigh, and that's a penalty
no,
too.
I don't think
okay, you want to protect
cannot
it.
Outlaw knees.
If you want,
we're
if
already
you
seeing it with
the
quarterbacks.
Head,
they can't call it. We're seeing it with quarterbacks.
Well,
they struggle mightily
yeah.
with quarterbacks.
It,
and if you
ridiculous.
Add that to ball carriers, receivers, tight ends,
no, you can't.
And if you're trying to eliminate the headshot, I think that's commendable. But if you bring it more than that, now you're just you're completely making it impossible for the officials, number one, like Andy just said, and to play. How do you play as a defensive player?
Yeah, I agree.
The only way you can tackle someone is if you and you can't even grab a guy because then you're going to get called for a stupid horse collar, which is another ridiculous rule.
Horse collar?
Yeah,
yes.
I hate the horse collar.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, no, you can really get hurt.
I know you can get hurt.
Playing
you can
the game
really
of football,
get hurt
right?
playing football.
No.
Playing the game
I know
of football.
That.
Strapping
that
it up and playing the game of football, you can really get
that
hurt.
That type of tackle is really
Then just
bad.
End the game. End the game. You can really get hurt doing anything on a football field. Just end the game.
So if you chase the guy and you dive at the back of his legs, I guess he can't blow out his knee
right.
doing it that way.
You can get hurt, Fred, playing.
But if you
that's
grab him
the
by the
line.
Back of the shoulders.
That's a real bad play. You can't.
It's ridiculous.
That's a good rule.
I don't know how they. I really don't know how to they play defense nowadays. It's a wonder why every single week they break a new record, and this particular
right.
week was 90 touchdowns.
Right, most touchdowns.
Most ever in a week.
Gee, I wonder why.
Actually, it ended up being over 100.
Because you legislated.
No, there were 90 touchdowns this. Well, not counting last night.
Right.
I don't know how many. Were there 10 touchdowns in the game last night?
There was at one point they scored the 100th touchdown last night.
Wow. Yeah. So there was 10 touchdowns in that game last night?
And the 90 was before the Sunday night game, too, so.
No, the 90 was counting Sunday.
Was it? I know they broke 100.
I think. I mean, that's what they said on the what's that show that we listen to on the way home when we're driving home? Those guys, Dial Sport Network.
Yeah, but
whatever.
They were just repeating.
I think it's Dial Global.
Yeah. There you go, Dial Global
but
Network. That's what they said.
I know they scored the 100th touchdown.
I mean, I didn't actually physically count them all up.
VIP strippers.
Someone on that. So 100.
I prefer you two to fight over this.
No. 100 touchdowns. No, I think because I think we're in the same. boat here.
That boat's sinking.
That's what they want. That's what they want, is 100 plus touchdowns scored in a week, most ever, because the defensive players aren't allowed to tackle the guy with the ball. Let's call it the way it is. And I'm not even going on this stupid, no, it's flag football. But if we're going to eliminate the knees and we eliminated the head and you eliminate the back of the shoulders, there's not that much left.
They're not going to eliminate the knees.
But people want it.
I know, but they're not going to do that. Don't worry, Paul.
And especially there's not that much left for the small versus big battle, the defensive back versus a guy like Gronk.
Yeah, you're going to have to be 6'6", 270 to play safety,
everything,
too.
Right, because you have to be able to tackle those people.
To me is the biggest reason why Ward went low. It's because he knew if he went high, he was going to get killed.
That is like the first lesson you learn. And by learn, I mean you learn as a player, not by like even coaching. You realize that when he's bigger than me and I go high, he usually wins. So I got to go lower because I'm little. I need to take him out low.
All right. That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. It went fast.
Thanks to the UK guys. They fueled me.
Right. Thanks to the UK Patriot fans for showing up. And being at the game on Sunday, helping the Patriots
right
with a big win. Don't worry, Patriots fans. We are still going to do this. And let's see. John Rook's coming up next.
Oh,
and
Tittlington.
Then Fantasy Football Champs. Is
Little
Fantasy
Bushy
Football
Lane.
Champs still,
Cockermouth
fantasy
Green.
Fantasy Football still going on?
Kevin, do we have a fantasy show today?
See the book they gave me?
All right. Yeah, we do.
Rude Britain, the 100 rudest place names in Britain.
We will be back tomorrow.
Upper Dicker, Swell.
Superman, and it's my show. Want you to gonna kick with my shoes. I'm gonna kick until I need new shoes. Yeah, yeah. I said
that was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.